Before we get to Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast talking about the movie Leprechaun, I just want to thank our sponsor here today, betonline.ag. And back in week five, we did it again, went 5 for 5. And so betonline.ag is giving credits, $100, to 5 of our listeners. All you have to do is tweet using the hashtag SportsNetChallenge, where I've been competing against the Podcast One hosts for the entire NFL season, and tweet your account name on betonline.ag. 5 lucky listeners will find $100 in free credits in their account. So go get those tweets in now. If you don't have a BetOnline account yet, get one created and send in your tweets. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget to use promo code podcast1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Thank you to betonline.ag, the exclusive partner of the Podcast One Sportsnet.
Right. We're trying to pick out a movie that's like goofy in some weird way.
Or find the next Troll 2.
Right. Or, yeah, that would be good. If we could find the next Troll 2, we could strike gold.
Troll 3.
Yeah, Trolls 3. There is no Troll 1, which is, I think, part of the greatness of Troll 2. Yeah. Bobby from Jersey.
What about the Jennifer Aniston Leprechaun film?
You think we should do that?
Well, I don't know how, but I think it's
what
crazy.
What is it called?
That
I don't even know that she...
It's called, I'm pretty sure Jennifer Aniston was in the original Leprechaun.
She's in Leprechaun. I thought you meant it's like a Leprechaun
yes.
movie.
Yes. Jennifer Aniston is the lead in the 1993 film Leprechaun.
Is it going to be too spooky? Because I already have like... is now I'm going to have to worry about this Leprechaun guy in my closet also?
An evil, sadistic leprechaun goes on a killing rampage in search of his beloved pot of gold. It's got IMD bags.
That sounds insane.
Leprechaun.
It's out. It's out of the crate.
Where is me podcast?
Is that like culturally insensitive if we speak like the leprechaun the whole time? We just say me?
I think if we're doing an impression of the leprechaun,
sure.
I don't know. I don't think that we are aiming to offend.
Well, we're never aiming to offend.
No, definitely not.
I mean, where did like the leprechaun saying me instead of my come from?
I don't know. But we will today be talking about the 1993 horror film. Don't know if it's a classic, maybe a cult classic, Leprechaun here, as we are only inside of 2 weeks until Halloween. I am Rob Sisterian here with Akiva Winokur. Keeve, how are you?
Are we pitching this as like this is our Halloween episode? Is that what we're doing?
I don't think that whatever is going to come up next on the wheel is going to have anything to do with Halloween. So I think that this is as close to as Halloween-ish as we're going to get.
That's fair. It is Halloween season at this point.
It's like also our St. Patrick's Day episode.
Is this our... All right. So yeah, don't ask for a special St. Patrick's Day episode in March. That's true.
Unless this is so well received, and I don't think mm-hmm. that will be the case, where no. people demand Leprechaun 2 ultimately be put on the wheel. You know, the Leprechaun franchise, though, I do think that we need to stop before we get to the very culturally insensitive Leprechaun film from the 2000s, the one that you referenced last week, Leprechaun in the Hood from 2000 and Leprechaun Back to the Hood in 2003. I don't know where the Leprechaun franchise took a real left turn.
Well, they also, in between like 1, 2, and 3 and In the Hood series, they also had Leprechaun in Space. I think that was the fourth one.
Yeah, Leprechaun 4 in Space. Then they went back to its roots. There was a Leprechaun 2014, Leprechaun Origins, and Leprechaun Returns coming in 2019. So
now it's a TV series, I think, for Sci-Fi coming up next.
Yeah, I think it's the new Sharknado, the Leprechaun series of films. But it has taken many a twist and turns. I do not believe that Warwick Davis is still playing the titular Leprechaun.
I think it might be Hornswoggle from the WWE.
You think so?
Yeah. I think that's what it is, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I'm trying to see at what point Warwick Davis left the franchise. Unfortunately, I think he was still with the Leprechaun franchise through the In the Hood days, but yeah. maybe by 2014. I mean,
it's tough to get, you know, like, he's the face of the franchise. I will say, if, you know, because we already have a question, Mark Halata tweets and says, I'm pretty sure I already know that the answer is yes, but are you guys going to be watching the rest of the Leprechaun movies? I will say, like, I already looked ahead Leprechaun 2, and Leprechaun 2 does not have anybody from this movie except Warwick Davis, the Leprechaun.
Yeah.
So, which actually makes me less likely to watch it because, you know, obviously Aniston, you're not getting Aniston for Leprechaun 2.
Yeah.
But nobody returns.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston is going to have a bit of a career quantum leap in between Leprechaun original in 1993 and Leprechaun 2 in 1994. It's more of a Leprechaun anthology series.
Yeah. A lot of people, the most common question or comment we got about the movie was like, what do you notice different about Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah. Why? Did she have a rhinoplasty in between?
I believe she has a different nose. A lot of people pointed that out. I would never have noticed because I'm in space.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have noticed.
Like Leprechaun 4?
Like Leprechaun 4, Kiva's in space. But
and you have facial recognition.
Bad, no facial recognition. So I probably wouldn't have I wouldn't have recognized her. Or I would have said, oh, Jennifer, that's Jennifer Aniston. Oh, she got older.
She did.
And, no. Yeah. But a lot of people pointed that out. Can I, before we even begin the actual movie, can I point out how we really got messed over while watching this movie?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yes. Well, let's just talk about the viewing experience. In case anybody wants to stop down, there will be full yes. Leprechaun 1 spoilers here yes. in this podcast that we're going to do a full recap. We're not going to play it with commentary or anything like that, but we will go through the whole movie blow by blow and talk about everything that happened. But Keeve and I had the same viewing experience that we attempted to watch this movie on YouTube.
Yeah, we watched this movie on YouTube, like all bad movies can be watched. Like, I'm sure the director intended one day for it to be watched
yes,
on,
Mark Jones,
on a laptop.
A Mark Jones film, the original Leprechaun.
A labor of love, I would say, that this movie was. This was his, you know, they say directors have one for you and then one for them. Like, one for the audience and then one that's just, like, trying to win that Oscar gold. And that's what this was.
Me Oscar pot of gold.
I think that so we watched it and it's nice because you could sort of track what you're up to. It was 1 out of 11 and then, you know, 2 out of 11 and you're watching. You're like, all right, I'm almost done. And each one, it actually is easier to watch the movie that way because, you know, you see what you're up to. Each YouTube video is like 8 minutes long because I'm sure it was posted when YouTube videos had to be under 10 minutes. And then you get up to 11 out of 11, which is the last 2 minutes of the movie. And those demons at Lionsgate really pulled one over on us. And they blocked the last of the 11 clips from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you are now stuck with, you know, without the ending, the last 2 minutes of the film, because I wonder if they do this for every movie. It's a devious move by Lionsgate.
I think this was a move that some adult websites may have come up with of that. We'll show you most of the movie, but we'll leave out the very end and maybe you'll go buy it.
Yeah. I mean, the joke's on them because the last bit is only 2 minutes and it's
you can skip it. So basically the punchline of the story is that you could watch 10 out of 11 parts on YouTube and you'll be fine. You will get everything. There is literally nothing that happened. I think I have 900 viruses on my computer because of the link that Akiva sent me watch the final minute
too,
of Leprechaun.
Yeah, you need a lot of pop-up blockers to watch on that stream.
My
side
entire system got taken over. That there was just a Siri voice saying, "Your system has been taken over by spyware systems." But it was like that. It was like that was like part of the con. It was like,
that's
like,
terrible. No, that's not good.
Yeah, like
you need a better pop-up blocker. I didn't even have that.
My Mac wasn't saying this. Wasn't Apple telling me that my spyware had taken over my system? That this was part of the thing. And then there was like a very suggestive commercial that also aired before watching Leprechaun on this site. So you could just watch it on YouTube. It's fine. You could also buy it. I think it's like $2.99 on Amazon or something like that if you really want to. But we're going to tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, I think you can get it. If you want to watch it before we talk about it. I think once we talk about it, there's really not much left to see. But yeah, you could probably save your $3.
Yeah,
this
is like the Seinfeld podcast. I mean, you could follow along here and we'll talk about what happened. And you
I think for Seinfeld, and there were definitely people who didn't follow this rule, but like it was crazy that people only listened to our podcast and had never seen the episode of Seinfeld. I don't think we agreed with that.
We did thought that that was a bad move.
Yeah, there were people, I think, like Megan Z said, like, oh, I've never seen an episode, but I listened to your podcast and I sort of know Seinfeld that way. I don't think that makes sense, but here I'm willing to, you know, like be your guide through yeah. the Leprechaun-verse.
Do yourself a favor and don't watch Leprechaun before we talk about it.
What's funny is like How Did This Get Made, which is a podcast that like makes fun of bad movies.
Yes.
They did Leprechaun in the Hood, but not this movie. This is like the gold standard, no pun intended, of the Leprechaun series.
Me gold
like, this is
standard.
A good one. One and two were in theaters, and yeah. it's really like kind of depressing, the thing about seeing this movie in the theater. Like in 1993, if you had gone and like spent your hard-earned like babysitting money or whatever, you know, or your allowance or whatever mm-hmm. on this movie when there was like real movies in the theater at the same time as it.
Mm-hmm.
But by three, it was already like, you know, straight to VHS or DVD or wherever they had then.
Yeah. Akiva, if you had to guess, and I'm not sure if you know this, what did Leprechaun 1 gross at the box office on its release on January 8th, 1993? Not just on that day, but overall.
Yeah, I did see the answer. It was $8 million total the first week. It was actually in the top 10. It was the only new movie. I guess they didn't release that many movies then. It was literally the only new movie that first week in January. So it
How
made,
did
like,
they greenlight a sequel to this? Multiple
sequels. Less, it was so cheap. It cost less than $1 million. It made $8 million. And remember, this is the time. This is pre-Scream, where there were like no, and but post Halloween, where there were like no scary movies. Like Scream really brought the horror movies back. But for the mid-90s, early and mid-90s, there were basically no horror movies in the theater ever.
Yeah,
like it was like a dead genre. So you do something like this, and it's cheap, and it makes money.
Yeah,
and then you sell like the horror people will buy the VHS or whatever. So okay. It's free basically to make the movie.
Yeah, it turns out that the Leprechaun franchise was the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. According to Wikipedia, Trimark engaged in an aggressive marketing campaign partnering with the NBA, the American Stock Exchange, and after failing to secure deals with either corporate headquarters, individual franchises of Domino's Pizza and Subway. Let me just, so like, did they have Warwick Davis ring the opening bell on the stock market?
That would be great. That would be great.
Well, what does a partnership with the American Stock Exchange look like?
I think that's how it works. I think you ring the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange.
All right. So let's not dilly-dally too much before we get into talking about the Leprechaun film. Of course, there is a great cast of this film. You want to do a little IMD bags talking about the actors and actresses appearing in Leprechaun?
Yeah, let's do it. And I like, if you have more Warwick Davis knowledge than outside of this movie, I would like to hear it, because I really know nothing about him.
So Warwick Davis is somebody who's had a great career that he has been in, you know, a million things. I'm glad that in his later years, he has been able to, you know, get some meatier roles, because you got to think that for a while, Warwick Davis, I mean, was kind of being wasted in roles like Wicket the Ewok from The Return of the Jedi, which I'm sure you did not see. I think that was his big break.
Yeah, he has in Star Wars, he has like a different role in every movie. He's cast as like somebody different in every Star Wars film, I see.
Yes, but Wicket the Ewok was a character that he was sort of in a giant teddy bear costume. It's confusing because it was a giant teddy bear, but it's still a small bear.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess if he's in sort of a suit, he could be something different in every Star Wars movie, because it appears like he was in all of them. And similar, you know, in Harry Potter, he played, I think, multiple different characters.
Right.
Also,
he got the Willow film. That was probably what he was most known for. He didn't have to wear a costume in Willow. I think that a lot of people really liked Willow. Somehow Willow is the only movie that has never been, you know, had a sequel or a reboot made. Not sure why that wasn't the case. And then he gets saddled with the role of the Leprechaun here for, 3 years in a row. In the 90s, and he's going to go on to play the Leprechaun through the year 2003.
Yeah, Back to the Hood. He was done after that. The what's weird is they're rebooting it without him. Do you know which character in this movie that they, and you don't have to answer now, and also the characters will mean nothing to anybody who hasn't watched the movie because we haven't discussed them. Which character in the movie is the only one returning for the Sci-Fi Channel reboot?
I would guess Alex the Kid.
Nope. See, that would make sense. It's actually Ozzy, the yeah. Gold Eater.
Ozzy, the actor Mark Halton, he, I think, is best known for playing Francis in the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, so I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah.
He's like the comic relief in this movie. He's the funny guy.
Well, he's the comic relief. How would you describe him? That he is certainly a slow adult.
Yeah. They try and emphasize how slow he is. They talk about his lack of intellect in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in the movie, like Jennifer Aniston says, like, you know, the kid Alex says, oh, we're going to, you know, he wanted to use the gold. Alex has a heart of gold. He wanted to use the bag of gold to get an operation to fix Ozzy's brain and make him smarter. And Jennifer Aniston said there's no such operation that could make him smarter, but right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
But then they say, actually, you are smart. So it all's well.
He did a smart thing. I don't know necessarily what that was that he did. I think then he tried to sacrifice himself. But yeah, he's kind of like a Forrest Gump like character in this film.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
if Forrest Gump had eaten a piece of gold and then been chased by a killer a leprechaun.
Yes. But he is the primary antagonist in the first Pee-wee Herman movie, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh.
That was sort of his big break. Let's talk about Jennifer Aniston here briefly, where I think that this might have been the absolute nadir of the Jennifer Aniston career timeline. This is, I guess you could say that it was darkest before the dawn here for Jennifer Aniston here in 1993.
Absolutely. I mean, she said in an interview a couple years ago that Justin Theroux like stumbled upon this movie when they were together, and like that's why they're no longer together. No, she didn't say that, but she was very embarrassed. That was like her talk show anecdote on some show. I think if you look at some of the other people on the show, like Hot Nathan, the guy who's a love interest, where that nothing becomes of it. I don't think he ever amounts to anything, right?
No. Stick with Aniston for a minute, and then we'll talk about the hot painter guy, Nathan.
Yeah.
So Jennifer Aniston, the first thing she does is Mac and Me. Is that the movie with the alien?
I don't know.
I think this movie is now best known for when Paul Rudd goes on Conan. He always like sets up a clip for his new movie, but then plays a clip from this film, Mac and Me, which was like a poor man's E.T., maybe a less scary E.T. if you were going to be able to ever go back to.
The storyline is an alien trying to escape from NASA is befriended by a wheelchair-bound boy.
Yeah, it's like an E.T. ripoff, but maybe it's for kids that thought E.T. was too scary and hiding in their closet.
Got it. So it's for me.
So I guess that she played the uncredited dancer in McDonald's in that film. Then she was on a TV series called Malloy in 1990, a short-lived series. She's in seven episodes of that. She was on the TV movie of Camp Cucamonga.
Sure. Who didn't see that? Eva Schechter, sure.
Yeah, so Camp Cucamonga, a TV movie. She then goes on to play Ferris Bueller's sister in the TV adaptation of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Do you have any recollection or knowledge of this?
I know that it exists, but I've never seen it. And I feel like history, it's sort of been lost to history, but maybe they could reboot it. I do think a new Ferris Bueller is coming.
You do?
A new Ferris Bueller movie, not a TV show. I mean, maybe if the movie does Boffo B.O., you know, a lot of money, they'll make a show also. But I think it's timeless enough that you could have a Ferris Bueller, maybe on Netflix, like one of these like Noah Centineo or whatever it is. And he's just like, it's his day off. And he's just like cutting school and parading around Chicago or something. I think that's happening.
She did an episode of Quantum Leap. And mm-hmm. then she does Leprechaun here in 93. And then she does a couple of other things, including a show called The Edge, which I used to watch, which was sort of like a Saturday Night
Anthony
Live.
Anthony Hopkins movie?
No, Saturday Night Live knockoff that was on Fox. She does an episode of Herman's Head and then is eventually going to land on Friends in 1994.
Yeah, so this is still a bleak time for her. Cause, right, she doesn't. Right, Friends is 94. I assume she has not landed Friends when she does this movie.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Right. I think if she doesn't get Friends, like it could be bleak because you look at some of these other guys, like Olant, the guy she's
Ken
in a relationship
Olant
with,
is who's the hot guy love interest, who really goes on to do absolute nothing in his career. With all due respect to Ken Olant, if he's listening, he was fine in the movie, but
he was fine. The problem is like they don't have like a kiss scene at the end. There's no. Like, they're like, she, you know, if you go to the beginning of the movie, she is miserable when they go to North Dakota. And then she sees him and is like, oh, well, I'm staying in this spider infested home because this guy's so hot.
Yeah.
But then nothing becomes of it other than, like, he saves her life. But, you know, it's not really acknowledged. Like, the movie kind of ends abruptly.
Yes. Awkward ending. We'll get to it. But he does, like, a million, like, guest stars on different shows, including Star Trek The Next Generation. Played Jason Vigo in 1994. There you go. Final season of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that's my favorite season.
Yeah. So that's what he is goes on to do. So it doesn't exactly work out great for Ken Olant. But let's talk about the actual film itself. And so the movie opens. There's a little bit of a prologue where we see Mr. Danny O'Grady come home to Mrs. O'Grady. And he's coming home in a limo. He's drinking wine. He's living the high life. She's like, what has gotten into you, Danny O'Grady?
Is that the move? Like, if you're angry at your husband, you call him. Didn't she call him Mr. O'Grady? She called him like Mr.
Yeah.
When Nicole's mad at you, does she call you Mr. Sesternino?
Yeah. Mr. Sesternino, what has gotten into you? Why are you rolling up here in a limousine, being all drunk?
Yeah, is that like his mom? She seems way older than him.
No, I think that they were a married couple because I don't know if he went to Ireland to attend his mom's funeral because there's like some talk about the mom's ashes, but somehow Danny O'Grady has captured the leprechaun and taken all of his gold. We know he has the gold. He talks about how he took the leprechaun's gold. He caught the leprechaun and took his gold.
Yeah, I do think the beginning and the end of the movie are very rushed. And I do wonder if like they were like running out of money or if it was just the director was kind of lost because we should see we just see the leprechaun, you know, see the gold. And then we see this guy we don't know. And then we assume he's like the protagonist of the movie because we see him for 10 minutes. And then he's not in the movie for the most part.
Yeah.
But I also think because the leprechaun, like a la, say, Jaws in the eponymous film Jaws, you don't see the shark until towards the end of the movie. I don't think they want to like show you like the face of the leprechaun so early.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why they don't show you like capture the leprechaun. But it doesn't make sense because he's just like, hey, yeah, I caught a leprechaun. He just sounds like an insane drunk person telling his wife
about
this leprechaun.
Well, that's what Mrs. O'Grady is thinking. This is another one of your crazy stories. I do think instead of doing more sequels in the future, I think that the move should have been to go back into the past and then like a Van Helsing where we are seeing like the origin story of the O'Grady family and how does he know to use four-leaf clovers to capture the leprechaun. And I think that set it back in Ireland.
I would have liked for the second movie to be a prequel, for sure.
They should have done, like a Godfather 2. But alas, that was not what Mark Jones or the people at TriStar were thinking at this time. So we see Mrs. O'Grady. She is going to put some tea on, maybe try to sober up Danny O'Grady. And the leprechaun has something. The leprechaun has a lot of powers that I didn't know about before I watched this movie, Akiva. That the leprechaun is very well versed in ventriloquism and throwing his voice.
Yeah, he can mimic people. He can zap people. Like, his powers are undefined, but pretty strong, especially if he has gold.
Yes.
The one thing the leprechaun cannot do is if you lock him in something, he cannot get out.
Seemingly, especially if you put a four-leaf clover on top of said thing.
Yeah, because he's stuck in, they're going to stick him in this box for 10 years.
Yes.
But he can also zap himself into being in another place.
Right.
He can go wherever he wants.
Yeah,
I don't know why that's his kryptonite, a box.
Well, no, the four-leaf clover is the kryptonite. So
right, but why can't he get out of the box?
Because they put a four-leaf clover on top of it.
All right, so you have to take the clover off the box.
Right. I mean, you could stick him in the refrigerator and then tape a four-leaf clover on the refrigerator and he'd be stuck in there.
Right, but what if like the four-leaf clover just falls off?
That's what happened. That's how he's ultimately going to get out of the crate. So
yeah.
He's in a suitcase right now, but I think he just transported into the suitcase and then was trying to trick Mrs. O'Grady. Like, I don't think he was trapped in the suitcase that he's in, because then he's saying, hey, I'm a little baby. I'm stuck in here. Help me out. I'm suffocating. And then she opens the suitcase. You're like, ha, ha, ha. It's me, the leprechaun.
The leprechaun like doesn't have enough charisma, right? He's not like he's not evil, but he's also not likable.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of like the Freddy Krueger type personality, where he is like killing people and then saying like one-liners to do it. But he doesn't come off super likable. You're right.
But he's also not Chucky. He's not like pure evil. I mean, he is kind
he's
of
mischievous.
Evil, but he does right. I mean, he murders people, so I guess that's evil.
I mean, he pushes Mrs. O'Grady right down the stairs, kills her.
Yeah. He does kill a little old lady. That's not great. Not one for the good column.
It was not great.
I don't think he's not hateable or likable. This movie's stuck in the middle, and supposedly it was supposed to be more kid friendly, and they gored up a few like the bloody like murder scenes. To like, you know, appeal to the horror movie freaks.
What is this movie rated?
R. They made it an R, where I think it could have been PG-13.
I guess it is kind of, there's some gory stuff.
And there's some like random cursing by Jennifer Aniston. Probably hasn't done a lot of cursing in her career, mm-hmm. Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, there is some cursing. No nudity, nothing sexually suggestive at all.
There's no time for stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, the movie takes place really quickly. Like once they get going, that's like, it's like the whole thing is almost real time. It's like an hour. No time for
like
making 24. Out or anything like that. Yeah. It is.
I think the whole film takes place over the course of like a day and a half.
After the opening
right,
10 minutes,
the time
which
jump.
Is 10 years earlier.
Sure, sure. And so Danny O'Grady goes looking for his wife, and then the leprechaun is like throwing his voice like, oh, I'm right over here. I'm in the kitchen. Come get your tea. But Danny O'Grady knows that something is up. So he goes down the basement, and then the leprechaun is like has the, you know, mangled body of Mrs. O'Grady. And she is like, he's using her voice and telling the leprechaun telling Danny O'Grady to give the gold to the leprechaun.
Also, very bad CGI on the wife at this point when they
you like think a computer was involved, Akiva?
A very bad effect. Like it's like a rubber face on her face.
Yeah,
it's
practical
not a real
effect.
Face, and it's clear.
Yeah. You know, there is not a ton of special effects in this film in terms of
$1 million, yeah. Right? Yeah, no, and there's some cuts that would not be out of place in like a student film or a
low
level. Yeah, very, very poor transitions or continuity things that you'd find more in like a low budget, say like Sci-Fi Channel movie, as opposed to a movie that was like top 10 in the box office that week.
And so Danny O'Grady, he gets a gun and then he shoots the leprechaun with the gun. And he also gets his four-leaf clover. The leprechaun is a little bit like the metal Terminator or the, you know, liquid metal Terminator, where he can take a gunshot and it like knocks him down. But he seems to have the ability to regenerate himself.
Yeah, I'd say like he's not completely impervious to gunshots, but
it would be
more like stabbing somebody, like not with like a sharp knife. Yeah, it stuns him, but like he can survive it. I don't know if you could like blow his head off by
shooting him 100 times.
I
think like shooting him with a gun or a rifle, it's a little bit like if he just hit you over the head with a frying pan. Where,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
that's fair.
It would
yeah.
play like, oh, I'm stunned. Like you may be like out cold on the ground for like a minute. But then eventually you'll sort of come to your senses.
And he can also sort of dodge the bullets pretty easily. Like, you can run fast and dodge the bullets when you're shooting at him.
Mm-hmm. So he takes the gunshot here, and then, again, he's stunned. There's no sort of, like, a hole or wound or anything like that. And, again, he has the ability to seemingly regenerate himself, because we'll see his hand gets cut off at one point, and he, like, puts it back on, and so, or it just grows back. We don't exactly know how that works. But he puts, Daniel Grady puts him in the crate, and then nails the crate shut, and then puts the four-leaf clover on top of it, and then starts pouring gasoline all over. Now, this is his own house. I don't know. I guess he feels like he's got the gold. I guess he could just burn this house to the ground and then buy a mansion.
Get some more money from the insurance. Get extra gold.
Right. And then also, you know, that maybe less questions about what happened to Mrs. O'Grady, probably also.
Well, yeah, true.
When the police
come. The insurance company.
Like, officer, the leprechaun pushed her down the
stairs.
Well,
the police don't come that quickly in this town.
No. Too many false alarms.
But yeah, yeah, if you tell the police about the leprechaun, then you tell the insurance company about the leprechaun, you should probably be able to collect, you know, the insurance money, and they won't
ask any questions.
He killed the wife. No.
So as he's pouring the gasoline everywhere, the leprechaun, even though he's inside the box, he sort of like curses him that he is makes the guy have a stroke.
Yeah. Yeah, he gives him a stroke. It looks like a heart attack, but I think it is a stroke of some kind.
Right. And so then I guess it looked like the guy died. He just like sort of keeled over. But we find out much later.
We do think he died. We don't learn, and maybe they wrote it in after, that he is alive and in the local nursing home towards the very end of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, did somebody come by the house? Like, I never understood who cleaned up the body, who came and got Mrs. O'Grady, who got Danny O'Grady into the nursing home.
I mean, I guess eventually, like, someone, you know, maybe their neighbor, or they might have had kids, they were older, or maybe the police eventually came by. Like, somebody eventually found them.
All right. Anyway, we jump ahead 10 years later in time, and Jennifer Aniston and her dad are driving in a Jeep. Jennifer Aniston, she's a little precious.
They want to play her up, like, it's 93, it's pre-Clueless. They're trying to play her up like this valley girl who's very into, like, you know, being a vegetarian and being like snobby. They're playing that hard in the first scene that, like, ooh, North Dakota's gross and the house is dirty and there's spiders. But really what catches my attention from this, the beginning of the 1993 stuff is not her. It's the dad.
Yes. What about the dad?
Well, he just disappears without warning and is never seen again.
Well, he gets bitten by the leprechaun.
Yeah, but he's, like, in the hospital with minor injuries and then never seen again in the end of the movie. Like, why doesn't he come back?
I mean, I think it's all the same day, mostly. I think that he goes to the hospital.
So you think, like, the day right after the movie ends, he just, like, comes. Maybe he's with the police running towards something at the end.
That gets a major wound. Like, his hand is, like, really
messed
up.
I know, but it's weird because, like, you're thinking, like, all right, this is, you know, they're the two main people. But then they ditch this guy for Hot Nathan.
Yeah.
Like, her love interest.
They needed to get him out of the picture.
Never mentioned again. Like, they just, like, it's going to be a while, and they go to a diner, and they're at the diner for most of the movie, like, half the movie. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on outside the world while they're at the diner. Like, four different scenes, they just keep coming back to them at the diner. We don't see Jennifer Aniston's dad again the entire movie.
No,
I wonder if he, like, quit the movie or if he was difficult, and they sort of wrote him out.
It's difficult. Because
it doesn't really work that he's just never mentioned. Like, he should come running to Jennifer Aniston in the last scene, I think.
Well, you know, it would have been too much to explain because he never even got to know that it was a leprechaun that was the major problem.
Oh, yeah, he's not going
to
believe that.
Right.
He's going to have to wait for the sequel.
Even Jennifer Aniston, two-thirds of the way through, is still not believing. You know, the only person who is on board that this was a leprechaun is Ozzy. We've seen the leprechaun doing things, but everybody's like, oh, it's a bear. It's a squirrel. It must be something like they're trying to come up with every other logical explanation of, you know, who could be messing with them. And the only person that is really buying that it is a leprechaun is Ozzy, who we've talked about is a slow adult.
And we don't know, like, even when Jennifer Aniston and co. see the leprechaun towards the end of the movie, they just, like, immediately start fighting with it. And then afterwards, they're like, what are you? Are you a leprechaun? Like, there's no... There's not like, oh my God, like they should like pee their pants. They're seeing a real leprechaun. There's not really like a transition between them not believing it and immediately getting like a fist fight with it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of room for doubt that he's a leprechaun. I mean, he's like, you know, really on the nose leprechaun.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, like, yeah, he is, like, he's the king of the leprechauns. Like, there's no way you could mistake him for something else. But again, like, if you saw a leprechaun in real life, I think you'd also take convincing.
Maybe. So Jennifer Aniston, she does not want to be there. Why is the dad there? Do we ever get that explanation?
I think he must be, like, working in the oil fields in North Dakota, because that's really why a lot of people go to work in North Dakota. Which is why they're, like, in the summer renting a house. Because I don't think they're there on as, like, a vacation summer home. That would be a little nutty.
Yeah.
Like, why would this fancy L.A. girl go to North Dakota? Like, he must be working on the oil fields.
What do you think? That him and his wife separated? Is that what's going on? He got custody?
Yeah. We don't know. We don't even see the guy enough. We know nothing about the backstory of the mom. But, they could have thrown in, like, that's why mom left. Because you're such a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
I would have liked that. But we don't hear that.
Do we get how old Jennifer Aniston is in the film?
It's weird, right? Because, like, she's with her dad and still living with him. But, like, she is not a teenager in real life at this point.
She's
right?
Not a minor, right? Nathan the painter doesn't have, any sort of legal issues to worry about here.
Well,
right?
He's got a 10-year-old brother. So, I mean, he can't be that old, I don't think.
Oh, those are his brothers, the other painters?
The 10-year-old, I think, is his brother, and Ozzy's just their friend, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's 24 when this movie was filmed, so I guess she could be, like, still in college and just, like, nothing to do over the summer. We're playing a 19-year-old, but I don't know, like, why she's sort of stuck there. The mom must not be in the picture, or at least they have, like, maybe she's on bad terms with the mom.
Okay. Maybe she failed out of college.
I believe that she failed out of college. And is now like, your punishment is you have to go to North Dakota with your dad. Like, what's her plan in North Dakota over the summer? It doesn't really
make
sense.
What's your 5-year plan, Tori?
I don't think she has. I don't think she's got a plan other than, like, get out of North Dakota.
Yeah, and be at a hotel. And so,
and I also think, like, if not for the leprechaun, she might never leave because she's really into this Nathan. Like, she might just, like, settle down with...
Right.
You know,
like, it's not a happy story if we cut back to Tori 25 years later, where she is settled down with Nathan the painter and has, 12 kids.
Do you think they get married?
I don't know. It seemed like that they were a little bit of, cut from different cloths. She did seem like the fish out of water. She's a vegetarian. She bumps into Nathan in their first encounter as she, like, storms out of the basement and she, like,
right.
Knocks,
she, like, just offers him money to go
knocks
away.
Him over. And he's like, he's got, like, no sleeves at any point in the movie, except for then he wears like a denim jacket with, like, a bunch of, like, wool sticking out of it. But he's, the heartthrob of the film, and she knocked over his paint thinner, and he's like, hey, you knocked over my paint thinner. It's like, oh, all right, here's and she gives him like $20, and he's like, that's what you're trying to do, like, here's more money. Just throwing money at this guy. How much does paint thinner cost?
I don't know. And is he asking for more money? I think he's like, I don't want money,
he wants
I want
an
you
apology,
to, like,
but I would have just taken the money.
Yeah, no, I mean, he does he keeps, I think, 20 of the dollars.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately irrelevant because they have priceless 100 coins of gold at the end.
Yes. But this guy turns out to be a real thirst trap, I think. I mean, I don't know if I'm using that term correctly, but...
Sure. No, you're nailing it.
Because that Jennifer Aniston is ready to move to the hotel. I was like, I never want to be in this. This is disgusting. Did you see the tarantula in the basement?
Yeah.
Gross.
I would have left.
And then dad is like, comes out and he's like, you know what? You're right. Let's move. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on here, Dad. What's the hurry? Why are we leaving? We just got here.
Yeah, she's not that, like, spoiled for leaving. Like, it's disgusting. And if you see one tarantula, you can only imagine, like, how many tarantulas are around.
There is a lot of vermin in that basement. I mean, we'll see in a couple of minutes. The leprechaun will just eat a giant scorpion that happens to be in the basement. Like,
chows down.
Terrible basement. She has every right to leave, but she's like, Dad, hold on. Let's slow down. What's the rush?
Right. So she's really into this guy. I do think they get married, probably get divorced because she can't live that North Dakota life. And then he comes to, like, follow her to L.A. She's trying to make it as an actress, waitressing on the side. And then, like, he's just like, I'm not here. We have to move back to North Dakota. Or, like, this is it. Or, like, I can't stay in L.A. I'm not an L.A. guy. I'm a country boy. And she's like, well, I'm a city girl. And that's it. They get divorced. They probably have a kid. It's probably sad. And that's, I think, where the Leprechaun 7 should pick up. It's like, it's their kid. And you could say, like, oh, my mom is Jennifer Aniston. And that's how you play it off.
Here's a picture of my mom.
I think you're right. It probably was. And then, like, Alex probably, like, he's in North Dakota. Maybe, like, he's also working on the fields, but, like, not maybe he has, like, an accident in, like, a wood chipper or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't end well for any of these people.
So let's just set up Alex. I don't think we've talked about him. So we have there's this painting crew, which is, like, the three guys painting crew. I'm not sure if they actually are brothers, but Nathan is like the hot guy. Then there is Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, a.k.a. Ozzy the Slow Adult. And then there is this little precocious kid who's what, like 9 or 10 years old? And he's saying things like, boy, I could really go for a beer right now.
Yeah, I think some of this stuff is like so cliche at this point that maybe that's why we didn't think it was so funny. But I could see audiences laughing at some of his one-liners in the movie. Like, he's like too smart for his age. He is very precocious.
He curses a lot.
He curses a lot. They give him the jokes.
Yeah.
So where he seems like generic, like we saw so many of these kids in the 90s, that it's not like he's like a poor man's like Macaulay Culkin or something. But at the time, I could see him being funny.
Yeah. Him and Ozzy, they're a real like Bran and Hodor type duo where that, you know, the big guy who's the adult, he is slow. The kid who is 9 is sort of the, you know, trash talking smart one.
Yeah. And I like he is there. What's their business called? Like three men in a van or something like
I don't know. And one of them is a kid. I don't know why he's not in school.
Yeah. Like, is there? Well, it's the summer. They're there in the summer. But I don't know.
He's on the business.
Yeah. Like, are there child labor laws in North Dakota? You could just pay a 10-year-old to like.
I don't think he's
house?
Going to school. I think he's all in on being a house painter.
You think he's a full time house painter at the age of 10?
The kid is asking for a beer. You think he's in third grade?
It's the summer. I mean, that's what, first of all, he's probably 10. He's probably going to
fourth
grade.
He knew about the pawn shops.
Yeah, that's true. How does a 10-year-old know about the pawn shops? They weren't even popular yet. Like, now, at least, there's, like, Pawn Stars. You could be, like, a pawn fan. Back then, you couldn't be a pawn fan.
Yeah. All right. Well, for some reason, Jennifer Aniston goes down the basement. She has the hots for this guy, Nathan. She's carrying a drink tray. And she's like, hey, Nathan, brought some drinks down here. And she can't, like, for some reason, he's, like, not responding. A drop cloth falls. How big is this basement that, a minute later, he comes out like, oh, I didn't know you were down here.
Yeah, she couldn't even hear him. It must be a really big basement.
It's not that big. It seemed to be, you know, a couple hundred square feet. It's not a big basement.
Yeah, maybe she has a low voice. I don't know. Maybe there's like a side room somewhere in the basement. You also got like the leprechaun screaming out of a thing, like pretending to be a baby. So that could distract you if you hear that.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, the leprechaun is still in the crate. And it turns out eventually Ozzy, the slow adult of the pair, ends up going down the basement and he ends up taking the cover off. What happens? He knocks the clover off and he gets tricked again. The leprechaun does like the baby voice thing.
Yes. And then Ozzy has to escape because Leprechaun's going to kill Ozzy because he thinks he's got his gold.
Yes. He thinks he has the gold. Now, the Leprechaun has another sort of fatal flaw. And I don't remember this being a part of the Leprechaun culture, Akiva, but the Leprechaun has a bit of a Rex Ryan-esque foot fascination.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that its flaw was like it can't close out games like Rex Ryan. Like it's almost kills everybody, but then it like
that too,
it
that
gets
too.
Distracted.
No, but he is he's a cobbler or a shoe shiner. And any shoes that he sees, he has some sort of an obsessive compulsive disorder. He needs to shine any shoes that he finds.
Yeah, if you throw shoes at him, he will sort of like be obsessed with shining them. That is his weakness, but it's not really brought up until it's convenient for the story.
There is one point where they need a big diversion, and they take a bunch of shoes and just throw them, and then he, like a dog with like a frisbee, he needs to go chase the shoes so that he can shine them.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what I would like to see a backstory where it's just like it's a Daniel Day-Lewis type movie. It's like very slow and it's just him as a shoe shiner. And then he like eventually gets like an eye for gold.
Yeah. So maybe so he was in the prequel that comes after the O'Grady prequel. That's sort of like the backstory of how they found out about the four leaf clover. So we see the leprechaun. He was in his human form before he became a leprechaun, and he was some sort of a shoe shine.
Yes, he was. Or was he a shoe shine, or was he like a cobbler who's obsessed with shoes?
No, he was a shoe shine guy. And so he was like working, you know, 22 hours a day shining shoes in Ireland. And then one day somebody sits in the chair and tips him with a gold coin. And he's like, thank you so much. And the guy says, I'll tell you more about where I got this at the end of the rainbow. And he like follows him into like the leprechaun trap, or he falls into something. And then that's how he becomes the leprechaun.
I buy it. I think that's like, again, the prequel would be way better, way better. I like it way more than this movie.
Okay.
A prestige leprechaun film.
So Ozzy ends up bringing everybody down the basement and is like, oh, there was a leprechaun down here. And they end up saying, no, you're crazy. You know, crazy Ozzy. It was just a rat. There was no leprechaun down here.
They do not believe him the entire time.
Yes.
And listen, I wouldn't believe him either. Like, I want to ask you, like, if you were in a horror movie, Rob, at what point in the horror movie would you realize, like, oh, no, this is like a horror movie?
Probably too late.
Like, I'm in the horror movie. Too late.
I think that that's definitely something where, you know, we can see the monster. We're like, oh, these people are so stupid. But, you know, if somebody came up to you like Akiva, like, come on, there's a leprechaun in the closet. Come on. I got to show it to you.
I would think they were pranking me. I would think I'm on like Punked or something. Like I wouldn't be. And also I'm lazy, so I wouldn't be interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because most of the things my wife tries to tell me, I'm like, okay, all right, listen, let's just listen to what you're saying right now. And she's like, no, I'm telling you that this is.
She tells you sometimes there's like a killer leprechaun in the house or the equivalent of that.
No, she'll tell me things like. There's a grenade in our neighborhood that's going off. I was like, all right, let's settle down here. She's like, no, I read it in my mom's Facebook group that there's a grenade in the area. I'm like, all right, how do they know this? Like, I think that maybe everybody is just getting a little worked up, you know? They spotted a car driving slow in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think this mom's group could like be the spawn of like many. If I was a Hollywood producer,
that should be the next horror movie. It's called Mom's Group.
Oh, the Mom's
Group. Right.
By the way, let's not even put that in the show. I think the idea is too good.
And there's one mom in the mom's group that really does know what's going on.
She's the conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
She's like alerting all the other moms. Like, I saw all these stuff. Like, I saw a kid in the back seat not wearing his, like, not being buckled into his car seat. Or like, you know, a kid, drinking Coke during the week, and it wasn't like on his birthday. Mm-hmm. He was just like drinking calories, and then everyone was like, ooh, gasp, or like a kid in like a cheap stroller. Yeah, it would be awful, and no one would believe her. She'd be like the mom who cried like, you know, the LA version of Wolf,
right.
And then, she'd end up being
just
right.
Like later on in the film when Ozzy calls the police and is like, you guys got to get down here. There's a leprechaun. He's going crazy. Call in the army, call in the Marines, call in the Navy. You got to get down here. And they're like, okay, Ozzy, just like you saw that UFO the other day, we'll send our best guys down there in a minute.
It does seem to be a very small town because they like the one cop says to the sheriff, like, oh, Ozzy called. Like they know Ozzy.
Everybody knows Ozzy.
They know old man O'Grady. Also, Jennifer Aniston's really astute in the movie because she's like, when you call the police, you didn't tell them it was a leprechaun, did you? Which is like a smart question. Yes.
Also, Jennifer Aniston has a cell phone in 1993. And it's
a portable.
It's not even like a Zach Morris phone. Like, I mean,
she's rich.
Yeah, she's got like some sort of like Motorola Razr in 1993. I don't really even understand how she has cell phone service in this desolate location, but that's never a plot point.
Yeah, you might not get it in 2018.
Every other horror movie ever made in the history of the world, oh, we got no service. But somehow, 1993, desolate location, North Dakota, not a problem. Her phone never loses a battery or service.
Was that a cell phone? She calls it a portable. Wasn't a portable just like a phone you could carry as opposed to a rotary phone that's like stuck to the wall?
No, that was not connected to a landline.
You could carry a portable around the house. Anyone under 30 doesn't even know what we're talking about right now, but like you'd carry
a cordless phone. Yeah, but the cordless phone has to be connected to a landline.
it was connected to a landline. We just don't see it. Like, how do we...
Oh, no. I think that we should really go back and
do... You think this is a cell phone?
Yes.
No, portable was not a cell phone. A portable was a phone you could, like, have in your living room, but also bring to the bedroom.
It's way too small. It's like a... she has it in her purse.
So she's taking... You think this is an out-of-the-house phone? Because we never see her use it out of the house.
Yeah, well,
portables, like, it was a house phone in the sense that, like, you couldn't take it off your property. Like, even if you were in your backyard, a portable phone would not work back in the day.
Let's see. Right? If I search for Jennifer Aniston...
Oh, nothing's going to come
leprechaun.
Up.
Leprechaun...
portable phone.
Cell phone.
So you think you are you implying that a portable phone was a cell was just the early name for a cell phone?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you're wrong. I think like Wikipedia says a cordless or portable
well,
phone.
Let's let the listeners weigh in on this in an email.
Yeah. We're not gonna solve this today. We're not gonna solve this today. Let people one, what kind of phone is this in the movie?
All right, so the one result that I found that was irrelevant, there's an article from March 17th, 2018, on sci-fi.com, 45 thoughts I had while watching Leprechaun. Number 31 is, she called a cell phone a portable.
Interesting. So she's just, so I'm right and you're right. Like, she's just using the wrong name for the cell phone?
Yes, she has a cell phone. She calls it a portable.
But maybe that's what they called cell phones because the word cell didn't exist yet. We need someone who was like really knows what was going on in the early 90s because neither of us obviously didn't have a cell phone. I don't think you had a cell phone in 1993. Yeah. We need someone who was like older and had one.
Yes, she does call a cell phone a portable, but she is pretty woke in 1993. Jennifer Aniston, mm-hmm. She does not eat meat. She is a vegetarian. She would like to order a watercress salad at the diner. Also, mm-hmm. there's a moment where that she bumps into the guy and, you know, she says to him like, hey, this isn't the 1950s. OK.
Yeah, I think. Right. When she gets called a girl, she's like a girl.
She's like, girl, excuse me. It's the 90s. Hello.
Really, the peak in terms of phones, like the peak of wealth was if you had a car phone in 1993.
Well, Jennifer Aniston has a cell phone in 1993.
No, car phone was bigger than cell phone.
Bigger than cell phone?
Yeah, because it had to like come in the phone. You had to like buy like a Mercedes and it came with like, you know, it would have to be like, you know, built by this dealer. You couldn't just have it. You couldn't just put it in. It was like part of the car, the mm-hmm. car phone. It was a big deal.
Okay. Let's pick up the pace a little bit here because I think we're like 15 minutes into the movie, but things are going to come together quick. Okay. I promise. So we've got to set up the plot here. Okay. So Ozzy then and Alex, like they come out from the basement and all of a sudden they see a rainbow and like, hey, let's go follow the rainbow. And Ozzy has very quickly forgotten about his encounter with the leprechaun because he's a happy-go-lucky guy.
Right. He's not really doesn't have any of the leprechaun PTSD. Is this where Chase the Rainbow comes from? They're like running after the rainbow here.
Maybe. So they go to the rainbow and they're like, hey, we got to get to find the end of the rainbow. And like, you guys are crazy. You can't find the end of the rainbow. Yet they do. And it leads to an abandoned pickup truck. And in the abandoned pickup truck, they find which kind of like magically appears the leprechaun's mm-hmm. pot of gold. I didn't understand that plot point.
So the pot of gold's just been like sitting there for years?
No, it seemed like it magically appeared.
I mean, like I guess the gold has powers. Like there could be a good leprechaun that was sort of operating off screen who's helping them. We don't know. Yeah, that could be what happens in the sequel. We haven't seen the sequel.
Yeah, and so they
it's impossible that all leprechauns are evil. I refuse to believe that all leprechauns just like gold and killing people.
Yeah, so you think some of these things are explained in the future leprechaun movies.
Or off screen. Like it should be explained.
The novelization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so now the kid and Ozzy, the slow adult house painter, who at one point blew himself, that he spilled all of the blue paint on himself earlier in the film to sort of like get it, like he doesn't, he's not good at what he does. And so they have all the gold now.
Yeah, and Ozzy eats one of the pieces
by
of gold.
By accident.
We later find that there are 100 pieces of gold. So
100
now only
pieces
99.
Of gold, right. And so that he says, hey, let's see if it's real gold. Let me bite down on it. And he bites down on it, but he accidentally eats it.
The very 90s trope also that happens in the scene is when he's like, when they find the gold and they say to each other, like, do you know what this means when they find the gold?
Mm-hmm.
And they both say at the same time, we're rich. That's a very 90s thing where people say that.
Yes.
Like, we had, you know, the, are you thinking what I'm thinking, which I don't think you ever tried. But I think if you, like, go to your wife next time, like, we just got $500 back from like from my like tax return. Mm-hmm. You know what this means? And then you both say at the same time, we're rich, ideally.
Okay. Well, I'll see if I can record that. And yeah. So Alex, they have this money and he's like, this is so great. Now we can get that operation, Ozzy, the operation to make you smart.
Operation fix Ozzy's brain. Yeah.
To fix your brain. Okay. Then, so the leprechaun, now he's gotten out of the basement. He's like underneath the car, and Aniston, you know, she's following around Nathan as he's fixing things around the house. And she goes to get something out of the back of the pickup truck, and thirsty leprechaun here, he starts like grabbing her leg, her calf. And she's like, whoa, whoa, what was that?
He's like pretending to be a cat, and he's like biting at her.
But did he pretend to be a cat? I thought he was sort of like stroking the back of her leg, because then they're like saying,
so
hey.
He was just being creepy.
Yeah, he's being creepy, right, because they're like, oh, it must have been a cat. She's like, Dad, I know what it feels like when somebody is caressing my leg. And Dad mm-hmm. is like, whoa, I didn't need to know that.
Right, that was like one of the funnier scenes in the movie.
Yeah, my daughter but also, is a woman, she's like, and I didn't need to know that.
But also, if she's like 22, I don't think it's like a big surprise.
Well,
like we don't know her age is also. She could still be in high school playing young. We're not sure.
Dad did not seem happy to learn that information. He's like, no, oh, wait, are you saying that the whole reason that we're staying at this house is because you're a woman now and you have needs and that's why you're hanging around with,
she's like painting
this
with this guy, like,
house painter. Oh, it all makes sense now. It all. Oh, no.
Like, they don't own this house.
This
like,
is my worst nightmare.
Who's paying for these guys to paint the house? Like, they don't own it. Who owns the house?
I don't know.
Is Mr. O'Grady still own the house?
It's like, if it was like an Airbnb, I don't really understand who is the landlord. Are they renting this house? Did they own it?
We really should have gotten Mark Jones on and asked them 10 questions, because I think we could probably get him.
Did they buy it from the O'Grady estate? We don't really understand what's going on. Okay, but so then the leprechaun throws his voice. He's making like cat noises, and the dad is like, oh, there's a big hole in this tree. There must be a cat stuck in there. Let me stick my hand in this hole and then see if I can pull the cat out that's making these noises.
Yeah, and the leprechaun bites the dad. Jay-Z,
it was a bad move. You never want to, you know, stick your hand into...
Even if there's no killer leprechaun around, you don't stick your hand into a tree. You know, it could be like a raccoon or
we just
a rat
saw
or a mouse.
A giant tarantula in the basement. They're
true. Yeah, this is a crazy move. But I guess JD's a tough guy, works on the North Dakota oil field.
Yeah, unless you think the hidden immunity idol could be in there, I think that was a bad move.
You think anyone's ever gotten bit by like an animal trying to find the hidden immunity idol on...
Yeah, I think that's happened. I think that's happened. Like a bug bite. Yeah, I think you could get that. Anyway, so he gets this huge bite. The leprechaun has bit his hand. It's like, Dad, we need to take Dad to the hospital. And the car won't start. Eventually, they get the car to start. They take the dad into town, which ends up sending them off into a diner and things like that. The leprechaun gets in the first... The leprechaun has access to a lot of vehicles in this movie, Keith.
Yes. I don't know if he drives a regular car, but he's got a tricycle. He's got one of those like Hot Wheels, like mini cars that he uses to flip over a van a little while later. He has a lot of methods of transportation. Plus, he runs very slowly. Like when you see him run, he sort of like hobbles. He's got some leg issues.
Yeah. But he has a tricycle with a tricycle bell.
But it goes really fast. He's like flying on the tricycle behind them.
Yeah.
As they're going to the hospital.
Yeah. And so the leprechaun is on the tricycle. He's going pretty quick. He gets into town at the same time that they do. And Alex and Ozzy break off with their gold coins. And they go to like the pawn shop to try to see how much money they could get for these gold coins. And the poor pawn shop guy, that he wants to keep one of the coins overnight. But then that just invites the leprechaun in to come in and brutally murder this guy.
Brutally murder. And this guy had no bad intentions. I think he said this coin might be priceless. He was like in it for the love of the pawn shop game. And then he just gets like, and you, I feel like you can't reason with this leprechaun. You could say like, I just found this. It's not mine. Hey, leprechaun, don't you know
here
what a pawn
shop
is?
Yeah.
Just take the freaking coin. Like, I don't need it. It's take the coin. Rob me. Mm-hmm. You don't have to murder. But he, this guy, like, the, you can't reason with this leprechaun.
Brutal murder, which ends up coming at the pogo stick being the ultimate murder weapon here.
Yeah.
And the leprechaun.
He doesn't really have a signature. Like, he bites people, kind of. Like, I guess that's his signature move. But I, like, a killer like this really needs a signature, like, if he pogoed everyone to death, that would be something, you know?
Yeah. So he pogos the pawn shop owner to death, unbeknownst to Ozzy and Alex, who are going to be making their way to the diner. Right now, a little bit of a lull in the action for our protagonists, Jennifer Aniston and Nathan, the house painter. They are in the diner for about 30 minutes of the film at this point.
Yeah, it's weird because I wonder if they, like, just had a very limited time to film the movie, so they just filmed a bunch of these scenes. So they do, like, Aniston, and then more action with Alex and Ozzy, and then Aniston again, then Alex and Ozzy. Like, they, it's weird. Yeah, you could almost fast-forward these scenes.
Yeah.
They're doing character work, but it's, like, too late. We're already, like, up to sort of the climax of the movie, even though it's early, and we're learning that, like, she doesn't eat meatloaf. Why was meatloaf, like, the classic gross 90s food? You don't hear about meatloaf anymore at all. The singer or the food.
Did the millennials kill meatloaf also?
They did. No, I think millennials didn't even get to experience meatloaf. I think meatloaf was murdered in the 90s, pre-millennials having opinions on things like this.
Yeah. I think that maybe millennials was sort of like a staple food for the baby boomers, that the baby boomers tried to force it on Gen X.
Our generation did not. Like, were you a meatloaf guy? Our generation rejected meatloaf, and now it's just been lost. And I do think, similar to when we rebranded bologna into American salami and it has now swept the nation, I do wonder if we can rebrand meatloaf at some point, or maybe one of the listeners.
Well, what about right now? What should meatloaf be? I think that meat is a bad word. I think that meat does not speak to...
There's no meat in, like, turkey or pastrami. Like, you don't have to say meat. We'll know it's a meat.
Does beef do anything for you?
Yeah, but beef what? I do think it's like...
What about
like
bread?
Of beef?
What bread is hot for with millennials?
What bread?
Like some artisan?
Like avocado toast. Sourdough bread? I don't know. What's a hot bread right now?
Beef dough? Toasted beef dough? Is that getting closer?
Toasted beef dough. I mean, no, because that's like, what's the dough? Like, is the beef dough? I don't know. It sounds interesting, but I don't think that accurately describes the food. Toasted beef dough.
Is it just the meat part? What about a toasted beef loaf?
Beef loaf.
Loaf is bad also. Loaf is bad.
Yeah, I think we got to get the meat and the loaf
out
of there.
Meat and loaf.
Sure.
It's two bad words.
Two bad words made a compound
word.
What
about cake? A beef cake.
I kind of like it.
Yeah. Toasted beef cake.
What shape is a meatloaf?
It's like a loaf of bread.
What if you call it's not a square. But what if you call it like beef squares? I think that we've immediately made it more appetizing.
So you want some sort of like beef brownie?
Beef brownie's not bad.
Yeah, beef brownie.
Okay, I like it.
So
artisan beef brownie.
We're changing the shape. We're making it more of like a, 9x9 pan, flatten it out. It's almost like a beef lasagna at that point.
But it's not really lasagna. You'd expect some sort of noodle in there.
Yeah, cheese or... All right, so you like beef brownies.
I do want... Or beef squares, like toasted beef squares. I don't know, something like that. I think the listeners can really...
I don't know if squares is buying us anything.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Beef pockets, beef... I don't know. Maybe we could table this and have listeners pitch it next week.
Is there some sort of portmanteau that we could combine the, beef or ground beef with brownies, like groundies or something like that? I feel like that it's
groundies sounds too cheap, though. Like when you hear ground beef, you think like, all right, that's sort of a low level of meat. That doesn't really bring out like the, what about like millennial meat? What if we just called it millennial meat?
No, because then you'll lose too many people.
Yeah, the boomers are not going to order it unless they're like, oh, I want to know what the kids are up to nowadays. What about Gen Z, though? My sister is little. She's not going to order millennial meat.
Yeah. All right. So let's go with beef brownies and see if anybody has a recipe for that.
Someone might be able to top it. But
put that on Pinterest. See how if it takes off.
Fine.
Yeah.
And that's not the only food that comes up, because we see in the house right at the same point, the leprechaun is eating Lucky Clover cereal.
Well, you're jumping ahead a little bit, but yes, I did think that was very subtle shade from the leprechaun towards the 32 fan cereal bracket, that the leprechaun finds a box of Lucky. It was not Lucky Charms. It was what was it called? Lucky Clover. Lucky Clover.
They couldn't strike it. I believe it was originally Lucky Charms, and according to legend, they reshot it. Johnny DeSilvera says that he read they reshot it because Lucky Charms saw the movie and did not, unsurprisingly, want to be associated with this film at all. And they said, no way, we're out, so Lucky Clovers is in, and hold that thought, because you'll see Lucky Charms gets hit. Between being not allowed in the cereal tournament and what happens at the end of this film, it's a bad month for Lucky Charms right now.
Yeah. The leprechaun is like raiding the refrigerator at one point in the kitchen, and then eats the cereal and then spits it out. Does not like it. Does not care for it.
Right. But I forgot a major thing that he did right before this.
Yes. You're skipping through the whole encounter with the police officer.
Yes.
Yes. Important. Because that's going to be a big plot point.
Right. He kills the pawn shop owner, mm-hmm. and then he's like heading back home, and he gets pulled over in what's he driving?
Well,
at this
so
point?
In the pawn shop, he sees like a giant like Hot Wheels car, and he's yes. like, ho, 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 what's this? And he takes
perfect
the
size.
Car. And then so he's yeah. like driving like this giant orange Barbie car down the street. And I don't know really why he gets pulled over. It doesn't seem like he's speeding, but maybe it's like, hey, there's a kid driving a giant, Barbie's dream house Hot Wheels car down the street. I'm gonna
but
pull this kid
like
over.
A kid. I like the cop is sort of like,
but it's a tiny car. The tiny car
the
does not belong
be
on the road.
Little person also like the cop is sort of like rude because he's like, I'm not a kid. I'm 600 years old, and the cop doesn't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to say the cop had it coming,
right?
But I do think like,
but if there's like an 18 wheeler on the road, like,
yeah.
the 18 wheeler is just gonna flatten this thing no matter who's driving it.
Yeah, it is dangerous. I do think you need to get this car off the road, especially at night.
Yes. There was like a close up on the police officer's shoes. I wonder if that was sort of like from Leprechaun POV of like, oh, these shoes aren't shiny enough.
Do you think he kills people just to be able to like get better access to their shoes? That's one of the reasons he murders people.
I think
once
it might
sort
be
of taken his gold.
Okay. Maybe from the Leprechaun POV also, you have like really like close access to people's shoes. Like you're really fixated on like, oh, those shoes aren't shiny enough.
Interesting.
So the leprechaun has a whole chase scene with the police officer. The police officer thinks he got away. I don't know. I felt like that the police officer really like felt like, whew, the coast is clear. And he's like started resting, which I thought was a bad move.
Never said the coast is clear like in the middle of the woods at night when you're by yourself and you didn't call for backup.
Leprechaun just falls down out of the tree, breaks the police officer's neck. There was no reason why the leprechaun had to murder the police officer. The police officer was not trying to take the gold. The leprechaun can get away. There was
maybe he thought he was like anti little person, like anti dwarf, and he like was upset about it. I'm not sure, because he was rude to him.
You think that the leprechaun felt like that the police officer had profiled him?
Yeah, had profiled him, didn't show him enough respect.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But like, it's a pretty vicious murder.
Yeah,
from the leprechaun.
Yes,
to this cop.
I mean,
leprechaun, go on, Chapo. I think the leprechaun, like, this scene is 5 minutes too long.
Right. I think he lost the high ground a bit, the leprechaun. Like, it's one thing, hey...
Well,
you know,
he lost the high ground when he killed the innocent pawn guy 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but
there was
a misunderstanding about
killer.
The gold of, like, you know...
And not the Lucky Clover.
Look, if I'm watching this movie from the leprechaun's perspective...
Sure.
His
and
gold had wrongfully been taken from him. So
true.
That he... felt like that anybody who took his gold, he's coming after. But the police officer was just trying to do his job.
True. The pawn guy had his gold. The cop did not have his gold at all.
Right. Right. The police officer was just like, you know, license and registration. And then, like, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
And so the leprechaun, he's such a playful scamp that he was like, you know, messing with the police officer with like his hat and stuff like that, dancing around. And his playful side does come out a little bit here, though.
They try and make him likable, but I do think because he's like committing all these grisly murders, it's hard.
Yeah. All right. there's basically like three acts of the film. So there is, you know, the first act is, you know, hey, moving into the house. Hey, what's going on? Leprechaun gets free from the basement. That's sort of the end of the first act. Second act is let's go into town. Let's go to the diner, go to the pawn shop. Leprechaun is killing the police officer. Leprechaun is sort of raiding the house. And then the third act really kicks off. Everybody gets, they get back to the house and they realize, boy, the house is trashed, but all of the shoes from a house are on the table in the kitchen. A bear must have gotten in here.
Yeah, because bears love shoes.
Yeah, that's the only logical explanation. A bear must have come in and put all the shoes in the kitchen and then trashed the rest of the house.
I mean, listen, what are you going to assume? Is that more or less ridiculous than a leprechaun? I feel like bears come into houses more often. It's not that crazy.
Right, because the leprechaun is raiding the O'Grady house because somewhere in the house, the leprechaun figures that the bag of gold must be in here somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he can't, like, sense the gold. He says he can smell the gold, but I guess he doesn't really have great gold radar.
No, he's not able to track it. He doesn't have any sort of, like, low jack on the gold, which would be a good idea.
That is good. We should patent that.
So the leprechaun is sort of making noise. He's ringing the bell. Everybody goes outside. Unfortunately, Hunky Nathan gets caught in a bear trap. I don't really know why the leprechaun has access to a bear trap. I guess that maybe there was one in the garage.
Maybe there was a bear around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Mr. O'Grady had like bear traps back in the day.
Yes. Maybe that's how they caught the leprechaun originally. So that Nathan is stuck in the bear trap. He tells the kid, go get the shotgun and tell.
Where's the shotgun coming from? Like, this isn't their house, but there's a shotgun in the garage.
Yeah. They are house painters. Yeah. I don't really know where the shotgun.
Like, I don't think there was a conversation with the screenwriter and like the director. Like, where's this? Where's the gun? Like, it should be in the car at least, right?
Right. Maybe the house painters have had some.
Are they house painters who just bring a shotgun and like leave it in the garage while they paint? That seems strange.
I don't know. Maybe they had like a really detailed accounting of Mr. O'Grady's things.
It's possible. Yeah, it could be O'Grady's shotgun. That's a good point because he just sort of left. That's not bad.
Okay. So Alex gets the shotgun. Nathan calls the police. Nathan is like, hey, guys, you got to get down here. It's a leprechaun. He's going to. I'm like, okay, sure. We'll be right there.
No, Ozzy calls the police.
Yes. Ozzy's calling the police. Crazy Ozzy. Sure thing. He's a good boy, but we're not sending anybody down there. That's when Jennifer Aniston realizes you didn't tell them to call that there was a leprechaun here, did you?
Yeah, but she could also call back and be like, just kidding about the leprechaun. But
well, she can't because the phone is going to shortly be out of order.
Yeah, the phone's going to get cut off and their car also is about to leprechaun keeps messing with their car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so finally, they get a good look at the leprechaun as he's attacking them. And they're like, hey, was that a leprechaun? Am I crazy? Was that a leprechaun?
I think they even asked the leprechaun, are you a leprechaun?
Yeah. So they're trying to get away in the car that one. I think it's Jennifer Aniston that she takes the cigarette lighter in the car and then, pokes the leprechaun in the nose with a hot cigarette lighter.
Yeah, she burns him with the cigarette lighter. It's it's very hard to find ways to sort of stymie this leprechaun.
You can stun him. You can stun him. There's a point where they're trying to run into the house and he's outside and they slam the door on him. They slam the door on his wrist. His hand gets cut off.
Yeah, but I believe it regenerates at
later
some point,
on.
Later
he will
movie.
Have a hand, both hands again. But I don't know if he just like puts the same one on and it sort of grows back, or if he's like a starfish.
I mean, he's a cobbler, so like, or not a cobbler, but he probably knows the ways of a cobbler, where he could just reattach his own hand.
Mm-hmm. So eventually, they get a cell phone call out to the sheriff, and Jennifer Aniston says to the sheriff, "Like, look, you got to get down here. We got a whole situation. We need your help." And then the sheriff is on board. He dispatches to the radio car, except that the leprechaun has now teleported back to the squad car, and the leprechaun is taking the call, like, over and over, got it, I'll be right over.
With a great American accent, also. Like, he's convincing.
He can mimic voices, yes.
Sure.
So he knew that
was
going
on. We also forgot that after this fight, the leprechaun gets into a go-kart and flips the van.
Yes, he has a third vehicle that he's like Mario Kart, that he has so many different vehicles that
he
can ride. And
that would be a fun Mario Kart character. Like, if you know, like, I feel like you would hang out with Yoshi.
Where is me gold cup, Mario?
It's not a bad idea.
And things are happening really fast and loose here, so I apologize if Keeve and I are
there's
bouncing
almost no
around.
Order. Even in the script, it was probably a little bit of bouncing around.
I mean, watch the movie and you try to explain what happened, okay?
They also don't know, like, at this point, I think Ozzy drops the bomb that, like, he has the gold in his belly. the leprechaun also realizes at some point here where he gets the gold, but there's only Jennifer Aniston comes out with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably like if you were explaining this movie, like, oh, well, you get to see Jennifer Aniston run around with a gun. You don't see that too often.
Mm-hmm.
But and then Jennifer Aniston smartly gives up the gold, which you'd think. And I think he would be like calm at this point. Like, I think he was willing to not murder them, except for the fact that he realizes there's only 99 pieces of gold, not 100.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston rightly says, look, all he wants is the gold. Let's give him the gold. And she goes down to the well, because that's where the kid hid it, and like, here's your gold. Leave us alone. Go away.
Well, she also doesn't know that it's priceless. I think the Alex and Ozzy know that the pawn shop guy said it's like worth $500 by the gold size, but because it's like gold, the gold is priceless. I'm not sure how quick she would have been to, you know, give him the gold if she knew about this.
I think that she seems like she's a woman of privilege, and I believe that she seems to be independently wealthy. So she does not seem to be concerned
like
about
most 21-year-old girls. She is independently wealthy, independent of her dad, since she is planning on spending their money to go to a hotel, whatever hotel is like near them in rural North Dakota.
She has her own cell phone, and it's 1993. So money seems to be no object here. So she's like, here, take the gold.
Interesting. Because, of course, everyone whose dad is, like, working, you know, manual labor on an oil field is a zillionaire.
Yeah, she doesn't really know how the sausage gets made. All she knows is that her Sprint bill gets paid every month.
Is that what the portable phone was only through Sprint back then?
I don't know.
It was AT&T, probably.
Something that is no longer in service. So the leprechaun is like, okay, he seems like he's perfectly fine. Just give him his gold and he's going to leave. But he counts it out and he realizes, hey, that's only 99 pieces of gold. They're shorting me. Nobody shorts the leprechaun.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know like why he needs all 100. I feel like 99
greedy.
Would be okay.
A little greedy, but you know.
Yeah, he is kind of a really greedy guy, if you think about it. Yeah.
But what does he do with it? I mean, he doesn't really spend it. He just wants to, you know, sort of make sure it's all there. So, you know, he's not really of sound mind, the leprechaun. So he is back with a vengeance, and he is pissed. And we have another major fight scene going on in the kitchen. And it gets a little slapstick here, Keith.
Yeah, I think the fight scenes aren't awful considering the quality of the film, but this one is a little bit like he's just in different cabinets and it's pretty goofy and it's
it
like,
is really
I'm not
goofy.
Here,
it's
you
like, it's like
me.
You know, sort of like a Benny Hill type scene where like he's in one cabinet and they open the cabinet with the shotgun and he's not in there and then he's like in a different cabinet. There's also a point where he sticks his hand on the stove, his hand gets stuck to the grill, and then he needs a spatula to take his seared hand off of the stove.
Yeah. The tone of the movie is so up and down that you wonder like in what order they filmed and like what they filled in when the studio wanted them to have like a grittier, more gory movie, because this is like a more silly thing for kids.
And then how about this, Keith? We talked about the leprechaun being a real creeper when he caressed Jennifer Aniston's lower leg, her calf, but then he comes out of the cabinet and he reaches and squeezes the genitals of hunky Nathan the house painter.
Yeah.
What was that about?
I mean, listen, they're in a fight to the death at this point.
Yeah. Didn't seem like it slowed Nathan down too much, and he didn't seem like it bothered him. But I don't think that he appreciated that.
I don't think he liked it. But again, he's also trying to murder. He's trying to kill the leprechaun.
So then the phone has been disconnected, but the phone is still ringing, and they pick up the phone, and this was all super creepy that Jennifer Aniston puts the phone to her ear, and then a little baby leprechaun hand comes out of the bottom of the receiver. What was that about?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because he's got the gold. Now he's got more powers, I think.
Yeah.
I think because that's what he said.
And then he's coming out of the fridge. And this is when they realize the only person that knows what to do is old man O'Grady. He might know how to stop the leprechaun.
Yeah. I don't know how they realized, like, oh, he's still alive, but they.
Well, I think the house painters knew.
The house painters knew.
They knew the legend of old man O'Grady. So what can we do to distract the leprechaun? Oh, I got it. Take all the shoes and throw them outside, and then he'll have to go chase them and shine them.
Yeah, throw shoes at him like he's George W. Bush. And then I think...
Really? Who throws a shoe?
Yeah, and he's like just shining them. It does work, and they're sort of able to escape and go to the old age home.
Yeah, so they get to the old age home. There does seem to be a uniform security guard at the old age home, which seems like tight security, but he's sleeping, luckily.
Also, why is Jennifer Aniston alone when when there's a murderous leprechaun chasing after them? Like, everyone's alone. The kid is alone at this point. Everyone's sort of just, like, doing their own thing. They should be in at least teams of two.
Yeah.
I know I would be if there was a murderous leprechaun chasing after me.
Yeah, ideally you don't want to split up, but, you know, maybe they felt like it was going to be tougher to get all four of them into the old age home after visiting hours.
Middle night.
So,
yeah.
I think they felt like that maybe Aniston alone had the best chance to pull off this caper. And they go to Mr. O'Grady's room, and she's like, Mr. O'Grady, you got to help us. He's out of the crate. And you hear the voice of Mr. O'Grady, but I knew right away that it was just the leprechaun throwing his voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was never going to be O'Grady.
Yeah.
Leprechaun got there faster because I guess he could transport himself there.
Yes. And so then the leprechaun is now another vehicle. He's in Mr. O'Grady's wheelchair chasing Jennifer Aniston down the hallway of the facility.
Yeah, and she makes an all-time bonehead horror movie move, Jennifer Aniston.
Which is what? Push the button for the elevator?
Yeah, go in the elevator. Like, that's never going to work, because even if you get in the elevator, when you get out of the next floor, you know Leprechaun's going to be there waiting. By the way, the Leprechaun really needs a name.
Mm.
We've just been calling him Leprechaun. Like, Lep? He calls himself Lep, I think, in a later movie. Like,
wow.
Like, all Leprechauns, well, in the rap, I think he calls himself Lep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, all Leprechauns are just called Leprechaun. Like, he, you know, we should humanize him, like Larry the Leprechaun.
Are there other Leprechauns, or is he the titular Leprechaun?
He's not the only Leprechaun on Earth. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's less realistic than a leprechaun murdering people. Is there only being one leprechaun?
I mean, is there a leprechaun society, a leprechaun civilization, or is there only one leprechaun?
I think so. Somewhere like in Ireland.
Leprechaun isn't like Tooth Fairy? From. Are there multiple Tooth Fairies?
You think there's only one Tooth Fairy?
I think there's only one Tooth Fairy. That's why it's the Tooth Fairy.
I think you're only right. Do you have kids losing teeth yet?
Not yet.
Okay. One of my kids lost tooth, but it was an accident.
Yeah.
Well, actually, some of my kids have lost many teeth because they're older. But one of my kids was your kid's age has lost the tooth.
Yeah.
But what do you think you're going to be one of those, like, how much do you think you're going to get hit up per tooth?
$1. $1.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Let's just say if, like, in whatever L.A. school your kids are in, they come in like, I lost a tooth. Well, how much did you get, Dominic? $1. It's like, they're going to be like, well, I got $10,000. Like, I got stock options.
We were talking about this the other day, and he said, Dad, I'm really excited to lose my teeth because then the tooth fairy is going to bring me a toy. He said, are you not getting a toy?
A toy? Yeah, that's a good, that's you're, a good
investment. How are you going to go to sleep and wake up and your head is on a toy?
A toy? Yeah, that would be rough. Like, what kind of toy would it be? It can't be like a big Hot Wheel.
The Tooth Fairy brings you money.
Sleep that night.
And he's like, well, how much money? I'm like $1. And then you can buy a toy. He's like, well, I don't really know about how much a toy you could buy for $1.
Yeah, but like, money doesn't work when you're only 5 years old. Like, it has very little value to you.
Yeah.
You know? If you ask the kid, would you rather like a $100 bill or like a toy that costs $5? They'll choose the toy.
Seemed less excited about it than original.
And I also like, so what my move was when I was little and I lost my first tooth, I asked like the richest kid in class how much he got. His parents gave him $5. So I asked my parents and I always got $5. But I think everyone else got like a quarter.
Should the horror movie be the Tooth Fairy? Because I think the Tooth Fairy is much more terrifying than the leprechaun, because the Tooth Fairy just wants teeth. Doesn't even care about money. Mm-hmm. Teeth at any cost. So the Tooth Fairy is going around. Like what if the Tooth Fairy...
Well, didn't they do The Rock
as
Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, but
that was
a comedy. This is a horror movie. Tooth Fairy is out there looking for teeth.
Can you just have the rights to the Tooth Fairy? Like anybody? Because it's just an urban legend. Like anybody could probably make a Tooth Fairy movie,
Yeah, I don't think it's
right?
like, you know, you've... you
like
know,
Universal Pictures can own rights
like
to like...
Book.
The, yeah,
like,
concept.
Yeah,
sure.
You bought the intellectual property too.
So you want to make a Tooth Fairy horror film? I'm there.
Yeah.
I will make one with you tomorrow. I think it's a good idea.
Like, what if the Tooth Fairy is just not getting enough teeth? Is there something that's going on where kids aren't...
A teeth shortage.
Yeah, teeth shortage.
Yeah, because how about this? L.A., the kids are so healthy and, like, their teeth are just not falling out because they're not, like, drinking... You're not eating candy and they're not getting cavities. Like, somehow cavities are involved. You know, they're too healthy. And now you have to, like, maybe, like, big Pepsi, like, big soda gets involved also. Tries like mess up the kid's teeth.
Yeah.
Who is the Tooth Fairy though? Who is playing the Tooth Fairy in this movie?
Who is playing the Tooth Fairy? Is it a man or a woman? Like, I think that you sort of
it's got to be a woman. If you cast a man as the Tooth Fairy,
okay.
People are going to be protesting outside the studio.
So we have some sort of the woman Tooth Fairy. I mean, I don't know. Is
it like a young woman? I feel like Tooth Fairy has to be like like ageless, like never dies.
Yeah, I think you want her to be like a, you know, an attractive young woman. I don't know if she's necessarily.
Don't you think the Tooth Fairy would be British?
She could be British.
You think like Cate Blanchett would agree to be the Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, I could see it. The Tooth Fairy's kind of gone rogue, where no more baby teeth. I'm ready to move on to the big teeth.
So the Tooth Fairy's taking grown-ups'
teeth? Adult teeth.
I think it's scarier if they're like haunting all the kids in the neighborhood, but I like it. I do like it. Like, no more kids' teeth. I'm taking adults' teeth. I'm also leaving them a dollar, which will not be good because like to get a new tooth as a grown-up, I'd imagine.
I mean,
is
dental
a lot of
insurance
money, not $1.
Is very expensive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so maybe big dental insurance is like in on this also.
Hmm. So they're
That's
taking the teeth? Maybe.
No. They're like supporting the Tooth Fairy in her. Like, it seems sci-fi, but it's actually like it ends up not being sci-fi. It's just that they're like paying this lady to be the Tooth Fairy and like steal grown-ups' teeth because they need the teeth. I like Blanchett. I do think like that's a big budget movie if you're getting Blanchett.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going prestige, if this isn't a horror movie, if there's like a message, we could maybe get, you think we could get Winslet? That's like the ultimate. Could we get Kate Winslet to play a Tooth Fairy?
Is it like a serious film? Is it like the origin story of the Tooth Fairy? Because I feel
I don't know. I do think like
we'll
we have a couple movie idea. Yeah, I think we should stop podcasting and just make a couple of these films.
We'll work on it. At least sell the screenplay. It's hard to make the movie.
Yeah, oh no, the movie will never get made, but we'll be. I would love to be in development hell and just get a nice check.
Okay, back to the Leprechaun. So yeah. Jennifer Aniston finally gets into the elevator, and then bad move by the Leprechaun that he seemed to kill Mr. O'Grady, but left him on like the top of the elevator. So then he pops out. So you get like a jump scare, and it's like, oh my god, the Leprechaun's in the elevator.
They're like the big jump scare in the movie. But he leaves the guy who's got the secret, the knowledge, with
the guy she was looking for anyway.
Yes.
Leprechaun should have just killed that guy.
Should have killed him. This is his one mistake.
Yeah. I mean, that the one flaw in this plan was leaving Mr. O'Grady on top of the elevator, which Jennifer Aniston gets in. And he's like, no, four-leaf clover. That's what you need. He hates four-leaf clovers. And then he dies.
I do like the idea. I think... poor execution by Mr. Leprechaun here.
Yeah.
This is like the best horror movie part of the movie, like the grisly elevator murder.
Yeah. So now it's a race back to the house where, okay, we got to go because that's where the four-leaf clovers are. The four-leaf clovers are at the well. That look there for the four-leaf clovers. So they're racing back to the house that Jennifer Aniston gets stopped by him at one point. They're like by the police car, or Jennifer Aniston sees the police car and says, okay, all right, let me find the police. But instead, she just finds the dead police officer.
Yeah, she gets in the car, sees the dead cop. Hot Nathan comes, shoots the Leprechaun guy.
Well, before that happens, though, she pokes the Leprechaun in the eye with the billy club of the police officer, and the Leprechaun loses an eye. And then this is super gory that the Leprechaun then goes to the deceased police officer. I don't know if he was an organ donor, but Leprechaun then pulls out the police officer's eyeball and puts it in his own eye socket.
Yeah. And by the way, just keep in mind as you're telling the story, you asked me if this movie was rated R an hour ago.
Yes, I forgot about this part. And then the Leprechaun is like, oh, an eye for an eye.
Yeah. Big Bible fan, this Leprechaun guy.
Yeah. All right. So then they all get back to the house. They're trying to find the four-leaf clover, but it's hard to find a four-leaf clover.
Yeah. And also they left the little kid alone, which is insane. Like, it's one thing to leave Aniston alone.
Yeah. Well, his job was to set up the bear trap, Akiva.
I know. I think that's a big job for a 10-year-old. I know he's a precocious 10-year-old, but still.
Yeah. And so that they're looking for the four-leaf clover and they're ready to give up. Like, we've looked for 30 seconds. We'll never find it.
Yeah, no, they're very impatient here. But they also know this whole thing takes place in like an hour. Time is money in this movie.
I mean, it's nighttime. We're looking for a four-leaf clover. We haven't found it by now. We'll never find it.
Mm-hmm. 30 seconds, max. That's all you have.
But there's one person who does not know the meaning of giving up. And that is Ozzy, the slow adult.
Well, no, at this point, doesn't he find the Leprechaun killing Alex at this point?
Yeah, the Leprechaun has now made his way into the barn where he is about to kill the kid. But Ozzy says, no, look, you have to believe. You have to believe, everybody. And then lo and behold, he does find the four-leaf clover.
Yeah.
And then he ends up then creating a diversion where then the leprechaun chases Ozzy away.
Right. He tells the leprechaun, you want that 100th piece of gold, Lep? It's in my belly. And then the leprechaun's like, all right, well, I'm going to cut it out of your belly. And then he chases after him.
What is he cutting him with? He has like a razor blade?
Yeah, he's got some sort of blade. He's cutting at him. Now they're
cutting
chasing
his face.
Each other. Yeah. They get outside.
Yes. But the four-leaf clover is like, how does the four-leaf clover get to the kid?
I'm not sure. I guess they hand it to him and say, like, here, take it.
Yeah. And very Bart Simpson-esque, a true David versus Goliath move.
This was the heart of the Bart era. This was peak Bart Simpson.
Peak Bart Simpson.
It's really.
So he, Alex the Kid, rolls up the four-leaf clover into a slingshot. Now, aerodynamically, I have no idea how this works, but
I think there might be gum involved here.
Yeah, and he has a slingshot, which has never been established before in the rest of the film.
Correct.
The kid carries a slingshot.
No, why would you do that? Why, if he has a slingshot, why would you mention it when you could easily have him play with it in the first scene and show that he's a 10-year-old with a slingshot.
And he then takes the slingshot and fires, and the four-leaf clover goes down the gullet of the leprechaun.
Yes. He eats it right into his mouth. By the way, is that like the anti-MacGuffin? You know, they show you a gun in the first act that goes off by the end.
Right.
Here it's like,
right.
We have guns, but we don't show you them until we conveniently need them, in which case they appear.
Yes. Chekhov's slingshot, where if we don't show you the slingshot the whole movie, it will just show up at the exact right moment in the third act.
So he shoots it into his mouth, and then he drops probably the line of the movie right here.
What is it?
He says, F you, Lucky Charms.
Oh, yeah. That's what the kid says that. Yeah, that's the murder line for the leprechaun. Sure, that's what probably really antagonized the people at General Mills.
No, I think the opposite. I think they put this in afterwards because they made them reshoot a whole scene in the movie from Lucky Charms to Lucky Busters or whatever. I believe that's what Johnny DeSilvera's notes said. That they had to reshoot them. Otherwise, why are you attacking like a potential sponsor unless they've already screwed you over? That seems like an insane move otherwise.
Yeah.
By the way, look, in hindsight, Lucky Charms was smart to not get involved with the film.
Yeah, I mean, and this was, like, you know, 7 years before we were started with a leprechaun in the hood.
Yes. Yeah, no, they history was kind to that decision.
Because I guess they're still making leprechaun movies and there's still Lucky Charms. So both hanging in there.
I think the idea of it works, but, and again, they're rebooting it as a show. And maybe it'll be campy on purpose.
Oh, it's going to be a TV show. I thought it was a TV movie on Sci-Fi.
No, I think it's a TV series on Sci-Fi. But again, like that's not like a prestige TV, like AMC, you know, Bravo type, like whatever. I don't know. Bravo's not prestige, but ESPN too. And then they blow up the well. They throw him in the well. The leprechaun.
Yeah. He goes down the well.
Gas.
And you know, that's really it. We sort of
that's when the YouTube cuts off. He's getting killed in the well. You really can't kill the leprechaun. That's the truth.
You can't kill
him.
I don't
think he can ever die, because even when he's a skeleton, he just comes back.
Yep. He goes down the well, and then that's like the end of the movie. He sort of like then if you end up then watching past beyond YouTube, he sort of like then there's like a rhyme about how I'll be down the well until somebody drinks from the well, and then I'll come out again, and then credits.
Yeah, so he basically threatens revenge, and setting up the sequel. Nowadays, this would be like after the credits or something.
Now, I think if this was a 2018 film, I think that we would have a post-credit scene of the person going to the well. Who would it be? Who would go to the well?
Ozzy? I think it would be... No, I think it's a new person. I think it's like, you know, maybe the person who will be in the sequel, but not one of our protagonists.
Right. Maybe the dad. Maybe the dad goes there.
Dad is still there. Yeah. Yo, that would be good because he's never seen the leprechaun.
He's never seen the leprechaun.
Work.
He's the only other character that lives that has not seen the leprechaun.
Well, every main character lives in this movie other than the leprechaun, who's also alive at the end somehow.
Yeah. So total murder, death, kills for leprechaun. Is it two?
There's a lot of, like, all the horror movies have like a death count, so they say four.
Four, yeah.
Because O'Grady dies.
The two O'Grady's, the cop and
the two O'Grady's, the cop and the pawn shop guy. So four people are killed by the leprechaun.
Okay. So, I mean, not a huge body count for the leprechaun.
But listen, sometimes the horror movie could have one, and that's, you know, and it's the... What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes score is for this movie, Rob?
So, is this the critic score or the audience score?
Critics... Well, you could guess both if you want.
I think critic score is probably 22.
Wow. It's 23. I would have guessed zero. Because, like, why would you give this movie
because
a positive
review? Because this was, in 1993, I don't think that the critics
people were star for entertainment
as hard on...
Yeah, I don't think Ebert was one of the people also giving a positive review. Mm-hmm. Audience was a little higher. Audience was 32. Yeah.
I think that in 1993, I think there was, you know, more critics that were just sort of like mailing it in of like, harmless mm-hmm. fun, 2 stars. And I think that probably counted as like a thumbs up.
Yeah. One critic from FlavorWire said Leprechaun is breathtakingly stupid. He did call it breathtaking, like baby Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Luke Y. Thompson of the New Times, said, not the New York Times, said it's the perfect high concept comedic slasher, and it's still Jennifer Aniston's best film to date. He said that in 2003. But I guess shots
sick
fired
burn.
At like picture perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like an absolute savage a move. And
what is considered to be Jennifer Aniston's best film today? Picture
that's
perfect?
That's a good question. I'm not a big Aniston. Like I do think some of our friends people probably have serious takes on this, so I guess let us know what you think. Like, if you want to go through our IMDb now, we can.
Yeah, let's go through it. I'll give
well,
you.
I think
give
the
you
answer
list.
Is Horrible Bosses is her best movie.
I mean,
that's just
that
the straight
is
answer.
You know, damning with
you
faint
like
praise.
It?
It's fine.
No,
it's fine.
She's not a movie star,
but she's made a ton of movies. She's made at
not
least
really.
20 movies.
But a lot of them were bad. Like before.
Well, that's
or during
what I'm saying.
Here,
let me give you her movie list. Okay.
Yeah, give me the options here.
All right. So this is post 94. I'll give you all of the mm-hmm. Like major movies. So 1997's Picture Perfect.
Okay. I don't remember. I've seen it. Don't remember it. Okay. But I don't think that's great.
Till There Was You. I'm not sure if that. I
don't know. What
the
that is
object
even.
Of my affection. I vaguely remember.
It's not a mediocre rom com.
Yeah, she's just in a million of them. Where with like her and a different romantic lead, this is Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston, 6.0 on IMDb.
I don't know how many 7.0s you're going to be able to find.
I think probably Office Space is probably what you're going to come up with.
I guess, yeah, that's fair. Now, she is not a huge part of Office Space, whereas most of these movies, she's going to be one of the two mm-hmm. absolute stars. She is not in Office Space, but yeah, that is the best movie I think she's probably been in.
Right. She's also going to be in Rockstar. That's with Mark Wahlberg.
Okay. No thanks.
Bruce Almighty.
All right. That's fine, but I don't think it's better than Horrible Bosses.
Along Came Polly. She's going to do a couple of these with Ben Stiller.
Along Came Polly's bad.
Yeah.
She's also like still, even though she is, I think, turning 50 soon, looks so similar to, you know, she's probably better. She's better looking now, honestly, than maybe she was at like 23 or whatever.
Well, Nathan the Painter said.
Right. Well, listen, there was a reason why they split up. But I think like so she's still sort of getting typecast, whereas a lot of women who were rom-com stars in their 20s are either being spit out by Hollywood like Drew Barrymore style or like moving to serious roles. She's like kind of still doing comedies and rom-coms just because she's like so attractive that like that's who gets cast in them, I think.
Yeah. No, she's really settled into she's the female Jason Bateman. She's just in like a million of these.
And she doesn't act that much. She's also like beyond rich, I think, mm-hmm. to the point where it's like you'd really have to like excite her with a script. Probably she doesn't, you know, I'm sure she's happy like
yeah.
not working or working once a year.
And her and Jason Bateman have been paired up a number of times in these films where it's just like, hey, we've got some sort of like comedy. There's three different couples in it. Who do we got? Okay, call Aniston, call Jason Bateman. Okay, let's fill out the rest.
It does seem she's moving to TV a little bit, right? She's doing like an Apple. Isn't she doing like an Apple show with Reese Witherspoon?
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
You know, some people like We're the Millers. I didn't like it. I definitely think Horrible Bosses is better than We're the Millers, and Office Space probably better than both of them. I do think those are probably her two best movies,
mm-hmm.
Office Space and Horrible Bosses. Now, I'm sure there's something we're missing and people will write in.
Marley
angrily,
and
but,
Me?
You know, I didn't see it, but I guess people really like it. I people do like
the
Marley
Switch?
And Me. It's like, it's too sad, Marley and Me.
Yeah. Okay. The Breakup.
You know what? It has a 7.1. So Marley and Me is her best IMDb movie.
Rumor
so
has
I'll,
it.
I'll give you that. Rumor has it.
That's her that like and Costner, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't
Costner,
see that.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo.
Not really. She really needs like her iconic movie role. Maybe she'll start doing serious films.
I don't know. All right. That's the movie career of Jennifer Aniston, I'm sure. Don't at me.
No, they can at you.
I don't think
like,
I ever
really
got to say that
you?
Before.
Okay. You know, usually the people say don't at me have 3 followers and like and it's like it's like don't at me but and it's like a terrible take and it's like well one I want to at you but two like no one's gonna at you because no one saw this take.
Okay, did we get any Leprechaun feedback?
I mean, I generally included it throughout the movie. I think Kyle pointed out that it one of the craziest you know, like parts of the movie is just the little Tykes car running over the giant car. But then like 12 seconds later, everyone's already out of the car, not injured by the car flipping over five times and like completely hidden to the leprechaun. Within like 6 seconds of him flipping over the car.
But just by the sheer laws of physics, like maybe there was some leprechaun magic involved there, but...
And you know that that leprechaun is very concerned with these laws of physics.
Yeah, because the leprechaun, I guess that he didn't have his full power, so maybe that he got his gold and then... So what happened to the gold, actually?
I mean, we don't know. We don't know where like the, you know, the gold ends up.
Mm. So, all right. Interesting stuff. Okay, anything else before we start heading towards the wheel spin?
Amanda says that her older cousins had this on when she was six. She had nightmares for months, even talked to a child psychologist at school about it.
Oh, no.
Where were my parents, she says. I blame all of my problems on this moment.
Oh, no.
Alex wants to know, how accurately does leprechaun represent Irish culture? I'm not sure.
Not accurate, I would imagine.
Not accurately. I don't think they like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. So now we did that. We did this movie,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Mark says after doing it, would you want to do more Leprechaun movies on the podcast?
I think we're good. I mean, unless that this is so well received, and I yeah. can't imagine that. I mean, this was fun.
I can't. So
yeah,
yeah, it was. I don't think this was music videos, but I also like the last two episodes. People seem to have really liked. I'm not sure if people are going to be clamoring for more of this, but it was a lot. I know we both have said we don't want to do too much homework, especially you are a very busy guy. Do you?
Hey, you're
like,
you're not so having the free
too,
time
but
yourself.
I also like wasting time, whereas you like are like essentially operating a one man business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different. I think that you watching a 20-minute episode is much easier than watching a 90-minute movie. That's one of my takes, though.
Yeah, I mean, this was.
I don't know if it doesn't bother you. I have no problem doing different movies. You know, if
I'm not opposed to different movies, but I'm not sure necessarily. You know, how quick I would be to get back into Leprechaun.
Like, so we won't
maybe
put a
next
movie
Halloween.
On the wheel. Sure.
Or St. Patrick's
Veterans Day.
Day,
or yeah, St. Patty's Day.
We can talk about it.
How did we get to this? That's my last question about Leprechaun.
I think that we touched on something with Jennifer Aniston, and I think that it was by way of Aniston we got to Leprechaun.
Got it. All right. I think we're ready for the wheel segment of this episode.
All right. Before we get to the wheel segment, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, our friends over at betonline.ag. Keeve, it did not go so great for me in week number six.
I hear that the other podcasters in this podcast one pool that you're talking about have been really enamored with how you, Boston Rob, have been picking the games.
Yes. I believe Adam Carolla was speaking with Ross Tucker, and Ross Tucker was complimenting how well Boston Rob is doing in the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. Thanks to Jen Manning, who has that clip.
All right, Ross, let's see. The podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on Podcast One. You can shoot him a tweet at Ross Tucker NFL. And you're one of the guys we're playing against in our league, right?
I am, and it's been it has not been good for me because I'm the one that played in the NFL. I'm the one that this is all I do is different football media stuff. Meanwhile, I've got my listeners telling me that Rob the Survivor dude has won a couple times. Because the deal is you get the $100 for five of your listeners at betonline.ag, and I haven't won the thing yet. Meanwhile, Rob the Survivor dude has won twice. So it's really just served to embarrass me. The whole thing has thus
Boston
far.
Rob? The Survivor
yeah.
dude?
Yep, the same one.
He's my favorite. Sorry, always rooting for Boston Rob. Nobody played Survivor like Boston Rob. You can go to betonline.ag and find out all the info. Ross, thanks for checking in with us.
Boston Rob is really on fire.
Yeah, he's killing him. They're going to invite Boston Rob on the podcast
yeah.
to talk about how
hey, I'm really
give him NFL
it.
Takes.
Take the Pats over the Chiefs. Bet on it. That's the lock of the week.
Now, let me give you my picks for week number six. This is just straight up, not with the lines. Here we go. I've got the Colts over the Bills here in week number six. I have got the Chiefs over the Bengals. That one could go either way, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Okay.
Eagles over the Panthers. Chargers over the Titans. And then lock of the week, Rams over the 49ers.
I like them. The Titans are really the least watchable team I could almost ever remember.
Yeah. I am currently boring. In fifth place in the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. I got passed by Shaq this week and Ross Tucker, the aforementioned Ross Tucker. So,
well, now basketball's back, so maybe Shaq's got his eye off the ball and you could pass it.
So hanging in there at fifth place. Of course, the winner of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge will get to donate $5,000 to the charity of their choice. You can get behind the show and even bet on the podcast host on betonline.ag. They've got odds for each show and much more at betonline.ag. Of course, if you use the promo code podcast1, you can get a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Don't forget, if you tweet out your BetOnline account number and hashtag Sportsnet, five lucky listeners are going to get a $100 credit because I did go 5 for 5 in week number 5. And October means one thing in sports, Akiva: excitement, NFL, college football, and now the MLB playoffs. Every pitch, every swing, every play is important. By the way, I have to say that this has been a great sports October for me personally. I've really enjoyed everything that I've seen in October so far, Akiva.
Yeah, I mean, Yankees are finished. The Giants are finished. Couldn't be better.
It's been a great couple of weeks.
The Red Sox will be done in a few days.
You don't want to miss out on the action and the fun. So head on over to betonline.ag today to make your online wagers and take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code podcast1 to receive a 50% bonus today. That's podcast1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus at betonline.ag. The biggest names, the biggest teams, the biggest moments are happening all month long in October. MLB playoffs, NFL and college football. Betonline.ag is your online sportsbook expert and your exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Use promo code podcast1 for a 50% sign up bonus at betonline.ag. Hope you have the luck of the Irish. Okay.
Nice.
There you go. All right, Keith.
What a coincidence they put that in the end copy.
Yes. All right, Keith. So what are we talking about for the wheel? We have a lot of suggestions for the wheel.
Yes, let's do some wheel suggestions. All right. So last week we ended off with a big idea where we would discuss Murphy Brown with Canadian MP.
How'd that go? Was there a backlash?
I will say that some people were very excited about it. One of our listeners, the one, in fact, I command, usually when I don't want to do something that's like post-production or pre-production, I will just like on the podcast ask someone to like do the work for me, and that usually works. That's what I found.
Yes.
That's one of the like the nice things about this podcast. People listen to it. So I said, Matt Stewart, mm-hmm. can you please like get the ball rolling?
Canadian and Matt Stewart. Yes.
Yes. He contacted their office. And her team, Candace Bergen's team, who we want to have the Canadian MP.
Yes. If you are, if you did not listen to last week's episode or the wheel spin, mm-hmm. That there is a Canadian politician named Candace Bergen, who is the only verified Candace Bergen on Twitter. And we wanted her to talk about the new Murphy Brown with us.
So her team was interested. They do need to listen to the podcast. So I told Matt, send her the link to 52298. Don't send her the music videos one. Also, don't send her last week's because, like, we discussed her and maybe she won't like what we said. No, we don't know anything about her.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, that's still up in the air. But so Amanda writes in with an idea inspired by last week's idea.
Yes. Okay.
So this is Amanda says, I'm inspired by the idea that Akiva's trying to book Candace Bergen on the podcast. I thought it would be fun for Robin and Akiva to each try and book a noteworthy person on the podcast.
Hmm.
Each of you would have 1 week to work on nailing down a big get for an interview. If both of you manage to book a noteworthy guest, you can put both guests on the podcast and then each advocate for why your respective guest is the most noteworthy. If you both strike out with noteworthy guests, it becomes a race to be the first one to contact Mike Bloom. I like it. It's called Podcast Guest Showdown. She says we could work on that name, but I like the idea. My problem is it's a lot of work. I almost think we need like an assistant. We each need like someone to help us book these guests.
Hmm. So
like someone on my team and someone on your team to help book.
So let's just play this out. Okay. So hypothetically, I have somebody noteworthy and you have somebody noteworthy that mm-hmm. we're able to bring in. Now, are we having like a vote for who's
more noteworthy? No, I don't think we
noteworthy?
Can do that. I think if we're getting a noteworthy person, I don't think we can actually do the competition part. Because I think like they're doing us a favor. We can't be like, well, who's more famous? You know, who's your, just give me an example of who you're getting.
Emmanuel Lewis.
So you're getting Emmanuel Lewis. I'm getting Matis Yahoo.
I was going to give you Vinny Testaverde.
Okay. I mean, that's like who's Emmanuel Lewis might beat Vinny Testaverde. I think Matis Yahoo beats Emmanuel Lewis.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
I feel like I know someone who knows someone who beats Matis Yahoo. I mean, Matis Yahoo probably has like 10 times the Twitter followers of Emmanuel Lewis.
I mean, Emmanuel Lewis is beloved.
Yeah, but musicians have like real, like hardcore fan bases.
Who
you know?
Is the person that you booked?
You don't know Matis Yahoo?
Who's that?
He's like the former Hasidic like musician. He sings like one day. You don't know that?
Emmanuel Lewis is since the passing of Gary Coleman, probably, you know.
Don't throw shots at our buddy Warwick here.
No, I'm saying
that's what you're doing.
Beloved television star.
Mazio has like almost 2 million Twitter followers. Emmanuel Lewis probably has like 50 Twitter followers.
That's what you think. I mean, Emmanuel Lewis is probably too big to be on Twitter.
You think Emmanuel Lewis is too big for Twitter? By the way, I was thinking with the Jennifer Aniston, how many celebrities are like Aniston too famous to be on any social media? I get like not being on Twitter, but like you could just be on Instagram with like comments turned off and just post like nice pictures of yourself and say like, watch, you know, Mission Impossible 7 coming out next week. Like she is too famous to even worry about social media. That's like a level, no?
Yeah. Let's see. What is it? The real L. Lewis? Is this him? Let's see if he's
I don't
verified.
Think he's on. I'm not sure he's on social media, is he?
Might be too big. I think this is a fake Emmanuel
too
Lewis.
Big. He's just too famous. Too famous.
Too famous.
And who do you think is more famous? Write in for next week. Matis Yahoo, Rob has never heard of. Or
how could he be more famous? I never heard of him.
Well, I've never heard of Emmanuel
you
Lewis.
You never heard of Webster?
I have. Okay. He's got a million likes on Facebook. I don't know if Emmanuel Lewis is doing these kind of numbers. I think you're... Your anti-music is catching, you know, NIS is catching up to you right now.
Okay.
All right, so I think it's a very good idea by Amanda. I do think we need to iron out the ideas before we put it on the board. Like, it's a lot of, like, are we just emailing 20 people? Are we doing, it seems like a lot of work also to have, like, two different famous guests on the podcast in 1 week. Like, Rob doesn't even want to have one guest.
Mm-hmm.
And then are we just interviewing them? Is this, like, WTF? Or are we, like, watching... you know, like a TV show with them or something, Candace Bergen style.
Right, where we had a contest to see who could get a famous person on there. It's a little bit like kind of like a She's All That type moment where then Emmanuel mm-hmm. Lewis thinks that like, hey, you guys really wanted to talk to me about my upcoming project. And then he finds out like, no, me and my friend, we just had a bet to see who was the most famous person we could get on this podcast.
Sure, I don't think we'd have to do that though. Yeah. I don't think we'd tell them. And don't tweet at them. Don't tweet at Matis Yahoo and say, like, they're using you for your Twitter followers.
Yeah. So I feel like it's almost here would be the thing. Somebody that the listeners have to work to find the most famous person that they could surprise us
with. I agree.
With.
The listener finds it for us. I agree. And it's one, not two, because two, I think, is too complicated. And then what is the listener who books the best guest for us get? I do like this idea now.
Okay. I don't know. Do they get to then pick something to be on the wheel and we can't veto it?
That's not like... that's fun, but I feel like that's like they could do that now. They could like almost come up with an idea now and
but we
have
could
a
veto
chance
it.
Of it getting on the wheel. I know, but still, like they could... If they have a good idea now, we're just putting it on the wheel.
What if they could pick a podcast topic that we would subvert the wheel spin?
No, the wheel is canon. We will never subvert. We've said this. We will never subvert the wheel.
Okay, then I don't know.
No one is bigger than the wheel, Rob. Not even us. Let alone some listener who's winning contests.
All right. Well, then put it in the waiting room.
Jennifer Aniston would just give the listener $40.
Oh, is that that's what's supposed to be enough for me?
That's what Aniston would do.
Yeah. All right. Well, then let's then put this into the podcast waiting room.
All right. Yeah. We'll give it a week. I think we could put it on next week. Let's give it a week and have the listeners maybe tinker with this idea. What does the winner get? But I do think it's a good idea. So podcast guest, book the best. Adam Carolla show back in the day, like when it was on a regular radio, because their booker's name was Mike August and they had an Outbook August and August segment. This was like 12 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, someone got like Joel McHale and then someone got like Howard Stern, I think, for a minute. Like they were just, you know, it was like whoever booked the most famous person as voted on maybe by the show or by the listeners got like 10 grand or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, it was like a sponsored idea.
Okay.
All right. Grace says she would, and this is also in the wheel waiting room. She wants to see a Royal Rumble commentary. She thinks the biggest obstacle would be figuring out how to have the sound of the show without the commentary. One idea she had was to have simulated a video game, Royal Rumble. I don't think that works. It's too similar to Madden. So, yeah, so she's worried about the logistical things. But a lot of people have said they do want the Royal Rumble podcast on the wheel. So are we just watching it? The problem is, so what we with this episode also, we had said we were just going to sync up and watch it live, right?
Yeah.
But we also, you pointed out last week, how many people are going to watch live? Even though the show is on YouTube, like it's accessible to everyone. How many people are actually going to like watch while... Most people listen to these shows when they can't watch something, right? That's when people listen to the podcast, when they're at work and they could listen, but maybe would can have headphones in, but not like be watching a freaking 1993 horror movie at work.
Yeah.
Or they're commuting on the train or the bus and they... So I don't think that... Like, I don't know how it works. I mean, tell me if you agree, okay. But like...
How about this? All right.
Yeah.
So we will be tasked with, I mean, like, what do we need to be hearing so much to sort of like.
No, but does it work? If we're just telling everyone what's happening, does that work as a podcast? That's my question.
I would think so.
Okay.
I mean.
So should we put the Royal Rumble on the wheel?
I think that there could be one. That's like going to be. It's one of our most polarizing ideas. There's some people that are going to love it, and some people are going to really hate it.
So you want to wait? You want to wait until like this is, you know, we're like the number one podcast in the world, and we could do whatever we want.
Like I kind of feel like it came in the 20s. Like I think maybe if we had it like closer to like Royal Rumble.
I'm putting a note that when we get up to 20, like when we get up to Royal Rumble season, which will be about episode 20. Although who knows if, but like weeks wise, that would be there. We'll put the 1997, because that's what people have suggested, the 97 Royal Rumble on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on the wheel, but like it's at a date to be determined.
Yeah. And what we can do is I'll record the volume, and then, you know, maybe we can, like, play with the levels. I'll be like Chester with the Serial podcast. And then can, you know, it, like, when, like, maybe if there's, like, a music cue that comes in, we can get into all that.
All right. At the USPS clerk says to us, if you do another quiz with wives, you should do a newlywed type game. The oldie wed game, he suggests, since you've been married for a while. It'll be more fun to have the audience to have shock and dismay at the spouse when someone gets an answer wrong. I did find out something about my wife this week.
Yes.
That was surprising. I brought cereal home, like I mentioned last week, for my kids because they wanted to do like a mini version of the cereal tournament. So I brought home like a Ziploc bag of each of the cereal so they could just do a little version. My wife was, the kids were all eating the cereal with milk and my wife was not. And I turned to my wife, I'm like, well, why? It's like, that's not the legitimate way to do it. Why aren't you eating cereal with milk? And she didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, like, you're just eating dry cereal. That's not the best way to judge a lot of these cereals, especially like Fruity Pebbles, Rice Krispies. It's a weird cereal to just eat dry.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, I've never eaten cereal with milk before. Like, how did you not know that? I had no idea. We've been together 15 years. I did not know. I thought she was like a big cereal eater. She does not eat cereal with milk.
Well,
I had no idea.
I have never felt more connected to you than I am in this moment because my wife will not eat cereal with milk either.
But did you know that? Did you know that about her?
I mean,
her?
I'm telling you. I mean...
Like, yeah. Did you know that before? Like, we've been talking about cereal a lot recently, I'm saying. Like, you've always known this?
I've known this for many years, yeah.
I thought my wife loved cereal. We always have tons of cereal in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just me and the kids eating it. She picks at it, but she doesn't eat it, except she said she'll eat Cocoa Pebbles with milk sometimes.
Does she eat it with a spoon, or does she, like, sort of just eat it with her hands?
I think she'll just, like, pick from the box and, like, stick her grubby hands in and just, like, eat it. I don't know.
My wife will eat, like, a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios in a bowl with a spoon but no milk.
That's wild. That's just – why not put it in a cup? And then you don't have to, like, a plastic cup. You don't have to, like, wash the bowl afterwards.
Yeah. Listen, it's one of 100 things. But why do you do it this way? Because that's what I like.
Yeah. Yeah, they did sound a lot pretty similar last week on the podcast. They would both like crush jail, I think we've established, but I had no idea. I really thought she was a big cereal eater.
Mm-hmm.
Tom writes in and says, a podcast suggestion for the wheel. Rob and Akiva had a podcast.
Oh.
10 years after the podcast collapsed, Rob and Akiva reminisce about the highs and lows of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Basically, Rob and Akiva speculating about where the podcast will go.
Yeah.
It's very funny, but some of these ideas are funny to say. It's high concept. I think it's too high concept for like episode 8 or 9, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's also too self-indulgent, like to start talking about a podcast that like, you know, still has its training wheels on and like to. But it is a very funny idea. I'll give him that.
It's a funny idea. It's a funny idea. But I don't know if it can hold. It has legs for a whole episode.
Yeah, right. Some of these ideas are funny for 5 minutes, but not for 50 minutes.
Like,
or
talking about the movie Leprechaun.
7 hours.
Right.
Yes. No, I think that like, listen, that we were like struggling to finish.
We had to race through it.
Yeah. Shut Up Tim says his idea is called The Wizarding World of Robin Akiva. The guys discuss whatever they know about Harry Potter. They take a quiz to find out which character they are. They join Pottermore and take the tests on the show to find out their house, Patronus, and wands.
Too beloved that we'll be talking about, like, we don't even know what this is. And then people are like,
if that's your only gripe with this, I think people will like it. People will like finding out what our house is or that sort of thing. I don't know if you know anything about Harry Potter. That's one of my issues.
Here was my counter proposal. There needs to be somebody there with us who's a Potterhead who is talking us, educating us.
So this is how Shut Up Tim probably gets himself involved in the podcast. How about this? Isn't there a podcast in the greater RHP universe that is a Harry Potter podcast?
Yes, the Weird Sisters.
The Weird Sisters. So if one of the Weird Sisters will reach out to us and agree to be the Real Weird Sisters, our guide through the cosmos. I think we could put this on the wheel right now. Because I'm sure one of them will say yes.
Yeah,
and
I think
there's no shortage. I think I've seen people, it seems to skew slightly female, Harry Potter, for, I'm not sure why, but because I've seen like women in the RHAP universe say like, oh, I've read each book 21 times.
Because
stuff like
I don't want it to come across like we're making fun, this is stupid,
for sure
we don't understand.
And also we don't know what's going on.
So somebody is coming in and educating us about the Harry Potter.
Yes.
So I'm fine with that. What is it called? What are you calling that?
The Wizarding World of Robin Akiva.
Wizarding World.
I like this. I think it's a very good idea. I like your twist on it.
There's a better pun we can make, but okay.
Okay, yeah, we could fix the name between now and like what the actual episode title is, but that's just what its name on the wheel is, unless you have something better.
Okay.
And also, there's two of them, so they have to like, I think they're sisters, right?
Yes.
What are their names?
Alice and Martha Keeve.
Okay, and they're sisters. They have to fight. Like, they can't both come on the show, right?
Only one.
They have to like have a Quidditch match, and the winner is no. I mean, in theory, if they really want to, they can both come on at the same time.
I mean, two guests is hard.
Two guests is hard. That's four of us. That's a lot of people. I will say, since we're giving them work, they had on their show, the podcast Off Book. It's like an Earwolf podcast. It's like a singing podcast.
Sure, go for it.
They had like two like big time guests recently. I even listened to that one because they're just like major sort of like alt comedy like Earwolf guests. It was to talk about Harry Potter. That's like a big get. Anyway, Martha, Alice, one of you guys, fight to the death. Let us know who's coming on. I like that. Put it on the wheel. What's our noise when we put something on the wheel, Rob?
You still like that?
Love it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. All right, so we're calling that Wizarding World. Ironically, we have the episode of Seinfeld, The Wizard, and now we have Wizarding Worlds. We have a lot of wizard stuff.
Yeah, a lot of wizard stuff to get through. All right, Brian Ferrara says, hey, Robin Akiva, to build on the Candace Bergen idea, how about a same name spot on the wheel where you use similar concept with people who share a name with famous people? That's been big on Twitter recently. Like, all the Brett Kavanaughs are tweeting that they're Brett Kavanaugh and, A lot of Michael Jordans out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, but what's the idea? So, like, if we were talking about Jonathan Taylor Thomas, we would find another Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and then he comes on?
So, are we... Yeah, we're interviewing people that have the same name.
Are they just a guest? Like,
people?
Is it about... Because that's not so interesting. Like, okay, you have the same name. That's, like, 3 minutes of content. Mm-hmm. But if it's, like, they're just the third guest on the show, and if we're talking about Alf, and there's somebody named Alf, and we have Alf on, or Welcome Back, Cotter. There's a different Gabe Kaplan, and he comes on the show
to talk like, about that.
There's a lady named Carmen Sandiego.
Is this
she
just
comes
like
on her.
Clickbait where we find somebody named Dwayne Johnson, and then we are sort of like,
we watch the Tooth Fairy.
We're gonna
get ideas for our Tooth Fairy.
This is our recap of Jumanji with Dwayne Johnson.
Sure.
Join us.
Love it. Yeah.
But we're doing clickbait.
The Rock.
Oh, you're not worried that
good for SEO. You're a big SEO guy.
But our iTunes reviews could get just blown into oblivion.
Right now, they're pristine. Right now, people are. We've had rapturous applause. Comment. Reviews on the podcast. We don't want to mess that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want more. We want more listeners.
Right. So
we want to get these things sponsored. You know, we want to get Lucky Charms in there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to have Lucky Clusters.
Okay.
It's
right, I feel like this should go to the waiting room. I feel like it's not quite there.
Okay. We have a bunch more ideas. I'm actually going to save them for next week because we're going long.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to skip to the season 3, episode 7 stuff. Okay?
Okay, great.
All right. Tom says, season 3, episode 7 of Dawson's Creek is a Blair Witch Project ripoff that also involves two characters getting to a friends with benefits type situation similar to Jerry and Elaine.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, wait, how does that appeal to us? What is?
Yeah. aren't we big friends with benefits fans? Like, I don't know.
Like, we know how you guys like to talk about
yeah, you guys,
benefits.
Remember that one episode, The Deal? Like, it's like that. So Dawson's Creek, do you have any Dawson's Creek opinions?
I don't. Do you?
I'm fine. If you were like, I like Dawson's Creek, I'd be like, I like the two. I watched.
I don't know anything about it.
I remember like I where I was when like it found out, spoiler alert, like late. I think Dawson's dad dies like late in the series, yeah. And all the girls like watched the episode. Who I was around like started crying.
Mm-hmm.
It was like very traumatic.
Yeah,
when Dawson's dad died.
So do you know enough about it? Like with Beverly Hills 90210, like you didn't know anything about it, but I do. Like no. We're perfect
could
strangers.
Could I guide you through the show?
Right.
I think so.
Like I think it I works think if one of us knows what we're talking about and the other one can ask questions. But if we both are like, oh, I don't really understand what is this.
Yeah. So, I mean, should we add it? Because I know it. I don't love it, but I definitely liked it.
Yeah. If it went into the fish tank and then it got pulled, would you be happy
right
or
now,
sad?
I wouldn't be annoyed. There's worse things, you know, for us to do next week than season 3, episode 7 of Dawson's Creek. But there's also better things.
Okay.
Is it above replacement level in the fishbowl?
I think it's about at replacement level.
Okay. You want to put this in the fishbowl waiting room, Dawson's Creek.
I don't know if this is a fishbowl waiting room. I think
there's
we just
not
need.
Yet. We
can't be that fancy Fencerton. Make a call. I'm agnostic. What do you want to do?
I'm putting it in. Dawson's Creek, welcome to the fishbowl.
The marker was kind of far away. I had to reach for it. Okay. Dawson's Creek. Yeah, I mean, I do have questions like, is Dawson's Creek, is it an actual geographic location? Is Dawson a person?
So, I think there's a creek. Dawson, James Vanderbeek is Dawson.
Does he own the creek?
No, he's a kid. He doesn't own the creek. He's very into, like, making movies. Oh, I think this is actually going to be good. Now I'm happy because you know nothing about this show.
But, that would be weird if I, like,
it's
oh,
a
that's
weird episode
Akiva's
also,
creek.
Because, yeah, no, it's not Akiva's Creek.
But it refers to a body of water, right?
I think so. I don't remember the creek part. I don't think the creek part is a major part of the show, to be honest.
I mean,
Dawson, huge part of the show. Creek.
We could play the song in the cold open, or like.
Yeah, I don't want to wait. It's a very good cold open.
All right,
totally.
Right, fine.
Great theme song.
All right, all fine. All right, it's in the fish tank.
Three more quick season 3, episode 7 ideas. We'll spin the wheel and get everyone out of here. Joe T says, "Bring on Mike Bloom and do season 3, episode 7 of The Celebrity Apprentice." Feels like a lock. Now, I don't know. Joe T wants to sit down here. He might want to sit down for this one. I'm not sure why he thinks it's a lock. We suggested last week having an anonymous Canadian politician who no one knows or cares about, who I checked on Wikipedia was voted in a province that's so small she got like 20,000 votes and won easily, like a small town mayor election in America. And people were begging us not to have her on, even though we're going to ignore them. She's not going to come on, but.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of having he might want to Google who the host is, but I'd say slightly more controversial than the congressperson from Manitoba, Canada.
Yeah. People did not love when I covered the Celebrity Apprentice with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. Right. Because Trump was getting, you know, had an executive producer credit or got bought out for an executive producer credit on
that
show.
So,
similar to Roseanne. People like, oh, well, Roseanne's not getting money. Like, they gave Roseanne like $20 million to go away.
Mm-hmm.
She's not an executive producer on that show, but like, you have to, she's not like, oh, I'll go away.
It would be fun because it's not, I don't know if I covered that season or maybe, you know, I think I actually did cover that season.
By the way, Mike Bloom has like encyclopedic knowledge of The Celebrity Apprentice to the point where when I said it immediately, he was like, oh yeah, that would be a great episode and started listing things that happened.
Yeah. Here's what you can do. Go into the archives of Rob Has a Podcast, and there is a podcast about season 3, episode 7 of The Celebrity Apprentice. So have at it. We don't need to relitigate.
I did say, hey, I said, Mike, was there like 3 seasons of The Martha Stewart Apprentice? But he said, no, there was only one, because that might have worked.
Yeah. So, you know, have at it. So, okay. I'm sorry. We'll not put that in the fish tank.
All right. I like this idea from Will from America.
Okay.
He proposes SNL season 3, episode 7.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
I think it's a really good idea. Okay. I think this is one of the better things in the fish bank. So we're adding two things to the fishbowl, Dawson's Creek and SNL. One more. This is from Shut Up, Tammy.
I had asked you, so who is the host of season 3, episode 7 of SNL?
Someone named Mary Kay Place.
Yes, which I sounds like a spot on the board of a novelty Monopoly game. Yes. I don't know what the theme is.
Yeah, it's next to St. James.
Yeah, next to Avon Avenue. Right.
Totally. Baltic. I think Willie Nelson's the host. I do think they actually sing a duet at the end of the show. Like, they have one thing with the host and Willie Nelson.
You've watched
sing
it?
Together. No. But I Googled it.
Okay.
No, I have not watched. Chester, I think, has seen, like, every episode of SNL. Probably Mike Bloom also has seen every episode of SNL. A lot of Bloom.
Who is Mary Kay Place?
I don't know.
She's an American actress, singer, director, and screenwriter. She is known for portraying Loretta Haggers on the television series Mary Hartman.
Okay, so she was the star of Mary Hartman.
Yes.
Or the second star or something. Yeah. Wasn't Valerie, whatever her name is?
I don't know. The star of Mary Hartman.
She was like one of, she was in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last one. Season 3, episode 7 of Sex and the City is from Shut Up. Timmy says, I'm pretty sure Rob is a Carrie and Akiva's a Miranda. I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment.
That might be fun. Let me.
We'd need an expert. We would need a third person.
I know enough about that show that I could.
I think we'd need like a real Sex and the City stand for that show. You want to hear dudes talking about Sex and the City? Not really.
I don't think that we need it, but I would be open to it because I think that we will get killed in the comments. But I've seen,
yeah, we'll get killed.
I've seen every episode of the show, I'm pretty sure.
That's shocking. Did you see both films?
I saw the first movie. But I used to watch it when it was on. I mean, it was like prestige HBO.
Sure.
So I definitely
I don't think we need to put it on. We put on two really good things. I feel like the fishbowl right now is looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Except we're gonna end up with a stupid Seinfeld recap podcast.
Well, let me tell you real quick. Season 3, episode 7 of Sex and the City is Drama Queens, it's called. 3 weeks into her relationship with Aiden, he was a furniture maker, Carrie begins to freak because everything seems so perfect. When Aiden asks Carrie to meet his parents, she can't deal and finds herself saying no. Meanwhile, Charlotte presses on her mission to be married by the year's end. Let's see. What's Samantha doing? Oh, here's a good one. Miranda, she's settling in with Steve, but then she finds skid marks in his underwear. Samantha sleeps with a doctor named Mark who doesn't need Viagra, but takes it to spice things up in bed. Intoxicated by the idea of a more thrilling sexual experience, she starts taking Viagra.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Sounds interesting. I
don't know if there's any
friends
with benefits, so maybe you're not into it.
Yeah, we're of course we're big FWB guys. That's all we care about.
Right. So I don't know.
Even have wife with benefits.
You know why we would not be able to discuss that, but
we would.
Okay. If there is someone,
are we adding it? It's your call. I have no problem adding it.
I say throw it in there just to
throw it in. I'll be annoyed if that comes up right now. But I do think
you could use your veto.
I could use. Well, we haven't really established if we have a veto on the individual once we enter the fishbowl. If we have a fishbowl veto,
mm-hmm. You could veto a fishbowl.
But it's a separate veto. I think you get one fishbowl veto each.
No, I think that's the veto.
Okay, that's the veto. Danny, the veto. I think. All right. So you put that in Dawson's Creek, SNL, SATC. They're all on. Ping pong balls and in the thing, we're ready to spin this wheel.
So I would. Here's what I would say: that if we have a third person, like I would love it if they would join us as more of like a Sex and the City, fact checker. If we're sort of our, do we need a Sex and the City expert to break that down?
So you mean at the end of the show, someone come on and like correct us or something?
Yeah, right. If like when there's stuff that we don't necessarily know about, but I think that we can. Well, so
fine.
We'll see. Look, listen.
Everyone wants to hear two.
You can add us if you think you think that we need it. Okay.
So let's spin this wheel. The wheel's a little lean right now. I almost think if we don't come up with season 3, episode 7 soon, people are like really clamoring for if we should discuss maybe next week adding a third slot on the wheel because we have so many good ideas in the S3 episode 7 thing. And you could argue like each one could be on the wheel individually.
Sorry. Here's what we could do. We could, for every week it does not come up, it can be weighted one spot higher.
I like it. All right, that's a good idea. Right, so do you want to add a third one right now?
Okay, if it does not come up this week, it will go from a weight of 2 to a weight of 3.
If it gets picked, it goes back to 2 the next week. That's right. Its bare minimum?
Yes.
All right, I think we're really getting the hang of this wheel. I think that's a good idea.
So look, it's an evolution in progress. Okay, so here is what we have on the wheel right now. CSI New York, where we will break down each act of a CSI New York episode and try to figure out what's going on. Tweets are trash. Keith says he has an idea for that. The Dad Cast, which is the Dad Know-It-Alls. We have Seinfeld, The Wizard, which is a recap of the one Seinfeld episode you and I did not get to talk about. Season 3, Episode 7, which leads to a fishbowl full of ping pong balls. Kids shows are trash. We have Rob's Choice. We have Akiva's Choice. Oregon Trail. Rise and Fall of Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And The Wizarding World of Robin Akiva. All right. Keith, are you ready to get to the wheel?
Yeah. This is always the most exciting part.
I mean,
possibilities are endless.
That's kind of what we're banking on. All right.
Sure.
Here we go. Here is this week's spin. Round and around and around she goes. Okay.
I can't see as usual.
Here we are.
Rob's gonna let me know.
And it's not going to be season 3, episode 7. It is going to be tweets are trash, Keith.
Oh, boy. Now, I have to say, if this person can't work out a time with us, then this episode is scrapped. Meaning I only have one idea for this episode.
Okay. All right. So
so do we need a backup or no? I don't want to get people excited, but there is a slight chance that we might have to do an early week wheel spin backup if we can't work out a time with this person.
Okay.
With the
so
guest.
Stay tuned.
Wiz agreed to come on, but we haven't agreed on a time.
Stay tuned. And then with that, we will also raise the weight of season 3, episode 7 to now occupy the weight of 3 spots on the wheel.
Okay. Yeah, people will like that.
Okay. So I'm going to save the settings here.
What a cold streak for season 3, episode 7.
I mean,
this is, it's been on the wheel since day one. And after its first, what is this, episode 6? And so this is going to be the next week 7. It's the 6th straight week where it just does not get
picked. It had like a 2 out of 11 chance on average for 7 or 8 spins in a row.
Yeah, so those are the Mets' odds of winning a game. And that's about usually how they do it, 6 in a row also.
All right. So now it has about a 3 in 12 chance.
3 in 10, really, because we're knocking off tweets are trash.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll take that off the board. And
I am excited about the idea, though. I think it's vague. It's one of the only things where people don't know what it is. If we get what we get, I think people will be happy with
okay.
it.
Okay. So
I'm not sure.
Figure out what's going on. We got to work out the timing. I'm going to be in Reno next week. So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of ping pong balls in the air. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Keeve, anything else? What do we do at the end of the show? Oh, we talk about the reviews. All right, Keeve, we have shot up to 78 ratings on iTunes.
Nice.
Go to,
let's get to 100 by next week.
robhasawebsite.com/nap to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. So let's see. Rob and Akiva need 5 stars by Walt Reed. Only a few more reviews to catch Joe Rogan. Everybody needs to stop what they're doing and listen to these guys do some craziness and spin a wheel. Who doesn't like spinning themed items? I guarantee you'll like this too.
Yeah, that's a good review.
Okay.
Who doesn't like spinning themed items?
That's right. Tim Allen, the great Tim Allen, says, the wheel is love, the wheel is life.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Well, he'll be especially happy now that he got his, he got a podcast on the wheel this week.
So there you go. All right. Keeve, anything else?
No, I think we've kept people long enough to discuss a little cared about 1993 film.
Okay. As of this date, the Jets are 3-3. What are your feelings?
Well, they play Chester's beloved Minnesota Vikings this week.
Over the weekend.
I have to deal with like the, you know, if they lose a tough game, I don't think I could be able to tolerate Chester for the next week, which not that I could have tolerated for any of the last 51 weeks either. I'm not feeling great about that game. Not feeling optimistic. Vikings are pretty good.
Okay. Look, at the end of this year, if you can just fire Todd Bowles and then have a quarterback, it's a success.
I agree. People say we talk about sports too much on this podcast.
All right. Well, this is the last minute of the podcast. All right.
Listen, we don't talk about sports that much. We just get the complaint. We talk about too much sports.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Great job, Akiva. If people want to follow Akiva on social media, follow at Keeve26. Be sure to check out the 32 Fans podcast where Akiva does talk about sports.
Not sports you like. I had basketball preview. I'm sure you did not listen
did
to that.
Did not even check it out. I know you were tweeting me too about the all day coverage of the opening day of the NBA season
excited.
On The Ringer.
Oh, we almost went the whole podcast without mentioning The Ringer.
Yeah. You gotta be there where, you know, the NBA, don't miss a second. Every day means something.
The Ringer did a video where they used quotes from the world's most popular television show, Succession, which about 400,000 people watched per week.
Yes, and they all work at The Ringer.
Like this NBA season.
Yeah.
400,000 of them, 350,000 were Ringer NBA writers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, good stuff.
Yeah. How success? Should we do an episode like that? How Succession, like, you know, explains Leprechaun 2?
Yeah, it's a blog post. All right, Keeve, great work. We will talk to you next time when we talk about your tweets are trash. If you have an idea to get on the wheel, send us an email at needapodcast@robswebsite.com or Seinfeld@postshowrecaps.com. All right, everybody, have a good one. Take care. Bye.